Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability will come to order. On behalf, I'm the Senate Co-Chair, Senator Jeff Schoenberg. On behalf of myself and Representative Patty Bellick, the House Co-Chair, we want to extend our appreciation and thanks to the folks at Shawnee Community College for their hospitality in providing for today's hearing, as we also wish to extend our thanks to the staff of the Illinois Department of Corrections for the tour which the commission members took of the TAMS Correctional Center immediately before we came for this hearing. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Bellick?
Here.
Senator Frerichs? Senator Murphy? Representative Nekritz?
Yes.
Representative Poe?
Here.
Representative Riley? Senator Schmidt? Co-Chair Schoenberg?
Present.
Senator Severson? Senator Trotter?
Here.
Representative Tryon?
Total of five members answering the roll. The commission will proceed with our business. We should probably introduce the other members of the legislature from the area who are here with us today. We have Representative John Bradley, Representative Brandon Phelps, Representative John Cavalletto, Representative Mike Foss. We'll begin the hearing with the Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise. Thank you. Some brief housekeeping matters before we begin. We are conducting this commission hearing today in accordance with the Illinois State Facility Closure Act, which requires a public meeting of the commission for any state facility in which there is a proposed closure if that facility employs 25 or more people. We have a very full agenda. We've been having these hearings throughout the state. As I'm sure you're all aware, the Quinn administration has provided a rather extensive list of facilities that they've been proposed to close, and we've been holding hearings at each and every one of them if they have more than 25 or more employees. We're going to adhere to a strict time limit for the speakers. So those of you who are on subsequent panels, after we hear from the Department of Corrections and the Governor's Office of Management and Budget, we'd ask that you adhere to those two-minute limits so that we can ensure that as many people who wish to testify can do so. And in order to help folks out and to save time, we'll also... Let you know in advance which panel of witnesses will be next up in order to make sure that there's as little time in between panels as possible. Having said that, Co-Chair Bellick, do you have any opening remarks you wish to offer?
Just want to thank everybody for participating today and ask that we do keep to the timeline so that everybody in the room can have a chance, and ask that the decorum would be kept the same as it would be in the Capitol, because we've brought the hearing to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Unless any members of the commission wish to be recognized, we'll now turn it over to representatives of the Illinois Department of Corrections and the Governor's Office of Management and Budget. If you could identify yourselves for the record, please, and begin.
Identification here, let me start. The Austin Bates, Governor's Office of Management and Budget.
am Tony Godinez. I'm the Director of Illinois Department of Corrections.
Ryan Gleckler, Chief Financial Officer, Department of Corrections.
Edward Jackson, Office of Labor Relations, Department of Corrections.
Please proceed.
Good afternoon, Chairman Bella, Chairman Schoenberg, members of the Commission. My name is Austin Batis. I am an Associate Director in the Governor's Office of Management and Budget. I am here today to discuss the proposed closure of TAMS Correctional Center. This closure and the other closures and consolidations proposed in the fiscal year 13 budget are difficult. They impact every region of our state. They impact people's lives and people's jobs. They impact those whose lives have been affected by the actions of the inmates housed at this facility. These decisions are difficult, but they are necessary. The budget office has the responsibility to manage the state's resources, which, as everyone is aware, are limited. The growing costs of pensions and Medicaid now make up 39% of state general revenue spending. That's $13.2 billion. If major changes are not made in these areas, more services and programs will need to be reduced. We call this the squeeze. For fiscal year 13, the governor introduced a GRF budget of $33.9 billion. This includes a 9.2% reduction in the budget for the Department of Corrections. Last week, the Illinois House signaled that it wants to cut an additional $14.2 million from public safety, which would result in even deeper cuts to the department than proposed in the governor's budget. In the face of budget reality, the proposed closure of TAMS seeks to cut inefficiency first. We have worked closely with the Department of Corrections to identify efficiencies in order to manage the budget. TAMS is half full. It's expensive to operate. It has an average annual inmate cost of $64,805, more than three times the state average. The closure of TAMS will allow the state to use its resources more effectively and efficiently. I'd like to turn now to Director Godinez, who can provide more specifics for you. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Mr. Chairman, and honorable members of the Commission. In the perfect Department of Corrections world, budgetary appropriations would coincide with the inmate population. When the inmate population goes up, funding would go up, and if the population goes down, funding would go down. The unfortunate reality is we are not living in the perfect Department of Corrections world. The Department of Corrections, if I can draw an analogy, is the last stop on a train route. Anyone left at the last stop must get off. The department operates like the last stop at the end of the line. We are at the bottom of the criminal justice funnel. We must accept everyone that gets off at our stop. I can't just ignore court sentencing orders and turn inmates away at the door. I do not have control over the sentencing laws that impact inmate population. We don't get a personal check for every inmate that comes into our custody who requires housing, food, medical, and mental health care, in addition to money to hire additional security staff and build new prisons if warranted. This flowchart has public safety surrounding every aspect of this criminal justice funnel. Over the past decade, the truth of the matter is funding for corrections has constantly decreased while the inmate population has steadily increased. Many other states have changed sentencing laws to reduce populations to accommodate decreased corrections funding. Illinois is an exception. It was inevitable that this sad day would come for the department, and it is with heartfelt regret that given my 39 years in corrections, I must sit in front of the commission, my fellow hardworking and dedicated professional family, the correctional employees, and their friends and family to answer questions on why TAMS Correctional Center should close. Decades of kicking the bucket down the road on issues such as pension and Medicaid costs that forced our agency and other agencies to deal with budget cuts that will affect every aspect of government. With nearing 86% of the department budget spent on operating facilities and faced with possibly more legislative appropriation cuts than the governor's introduced budget, it is the unfortunate reality that, among other cuts, facilities must close and some employees must be affected. Faced with incredibly tough decisions on how to manage this agency with the projected budget, I must make decisions that will keep the safety and security of our staff and the general public our number one priority. I do not have control over the inmates that are sent to us, but I do have control over how we manage the population and operate the department. The proposed closure of TAMS is just one initiative among many within my control to deal with the projected budget. Our implementation of a population management plan has had positive results in the reduction of our population. The commission might hear today from opponents of the dire consequences of closure of a supermax facilities. Some may express fear that we might go back to the old days. Well, if that means 4,000 less inmates and 4,000 more staff with an identical budget that we have today, then I would be willing to engage that fear because we have put more in place than just a supermax facility to deal with our complex issues. But don't be misled. Illinois is not a national trailblazer in closing a supermax. But instead, Illinois is one of the last of a few states that has not examined the functionality and efficiency of its supermax facility. In fact, after review, other states that have successfully downgraded, closed, or repurposed their supermax facility have done so without compromising the safety and security of staff and the general public. I believe the inmates can be transferred to other wings at maximum security institutions with elevated security to keep our staff and our other inmates safe. The decision to close TAMS is primarily budget-driven, based on the fiscal inefficiency of the facility, grounded in our belief that safety and security will not be compromised, balanced by the commitment to my fiduciary duty to deal with the department's long-term segregation populations as it relates to the safety of our staff and the general welfare of our inmates, and in accordance with our efforts to safely transition inmates scheduled for release to maximize public safety. In closing, given the department's projected funds available in the next fiscal year, a harsh reality in the world of the Illinois Department of Corrections must begin. Tough decisions need to be made, and I am ready to confront the problem. And now I ask for the commission and your colleagues in the General Assembly to join me in recognizing the realities of the state's criminal justice system and work with me and support the department during these tough times. Thank you, and I invite any questions the commission may have.
Thank you. We'll hold all questions for panel members until we've heard from everyone, unless we've heard. Questions, members of the commission? We've been joined as well by Senator Gary Forby and Representative Costello. Welcome. Questions of members of the commission? Co-Chair Bellick.
Thank you very much. I wanted to ask you where you are planning on taking the prisoners that are at TAMS if it should close.
Well, the plans are sensitive. However, generally speaking, of the 186 that are in CMAX, a good portion of them would go to Pontiac. There are some inmates that cannot be placed in Pontiac. We would then consider Menard. We have other options as well. The 180 plus in minimum security would be sent to other minimum security facilities and work camps.
And is Menard overcrowded right now?
I think Menard has some space, not very much space.
Might be a good time to remind you what Representative Bellick said at the onset of the hearing. We have a very tight time frame in which we can get all the testimony in, so interruptions for applause or any other public demonstrations one way or the other are only going to cut into the time that others, who my guess is you want to have heard as panelists, it's only going to eliminate potential witnesses from having the opportunity to testify. I can't stress that strongly enough. We're on a tight time frame.
I just have one other question. I just wanted to ask if you would have to retrofit Pontiac or Menard to take the type of prisoners you have at TAMS?
Both Pontiac and Menard at one time housed our death row population. We believe in areas outside of the death row population, because Pontiac has for years now housed long-term segregation inmates, we would not have to retrofit. In some cases, we may want to put enhanced security on a couple of the cell doors.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Phelps.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really appreciate y'all being here today. I wish we could be meeting on better circumstances. I think this is an absolute travesty what we're doing, but I want to put some questions on the record, Director Godinez, if you don't mind. Closing TAMS will mean laying off about 300 people. if not more. Your recommendation to close TAM says having other DLC facilities nearby will lessen the impact of the layoff. You consider 90 miles one way to be nearby, I believe, in your document.
That's what we're using, sir.
Okay. You say there will be 118 jobs available in that 90-mile radius, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So that means at least 184 families from this area will have to move. Isn't that correct?
Unfortunately, yes, that's correct.
And that's sad. People have lived here all their lives, and I just want the record to reflect that is absolutely absurd. Number two, your recommendation document says available placement opportunities will exist for current TAM staff. It sounds like all the TAM staff will have a DOC job. But it also says there will be a total of 796 staff laid off because of FY13 budget and only 594 vacancies total statewide. So isn't in the case that all, at least 200 people will not have jobs in DOC, and when the layoffs are over, and some of them will come from TAMS, isn't that true?
Unfortunately, that's true.
Talked about the cost. The recommendation says that 186 CMAX inmates are going to Pontiac and Menard, as we just discussed. It says you will develop elevated security wings at those facilities. What will that cost as far as additional staff and also fiscal plant upgrades to handle these extremely dangerous men? And why wasn't that cost documented in your recommendation?
Can I ask my fiscal person
please
respond?
As far as the Pontiac and Menard, given the fact that they're already staffed to house maximum security inmates, there's not any additional cost that we don't believe with housing these inmates, at whether they be at TAMS or whether they be at Pontiac. We're not projecting an additional cost of having those inmates at a different facility.
So you don't see any extra cost by moving them?
No.
Correct.
But you said a while ago that you're going to have to make some upgrades because Pontiac Menard did house some of these inmates. I mean, I don't believe that's there anymore. So you would have to put extra money in there for those physical plant upgrades, correct?
No, sir. It's there. The North Seg is more secure than even our former death row galleries.
And I guess going along with my last question with the safety aspect of this, I don't know anybody would want to gamble with this, but I think it's safe to say, and I think the public would understand this, that Pontiac and Menard already handle very tough inmates right now.
Yes, sir.
So what do you do with those inmates when you try to transfer the CMAX inmates to those facilities? What happens to the safety of the correctional officers with those inmates that's already at Pontiac Menard?
I think the procedures and policies that make for an effective and safe TAMS will be followed also at Pontiac and Menard. It's the procedures and the people that follow those procedures that make it safe.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Jeff.
Senator Forby.
Before TAMS was open, was there some instance or something happened in TAMS? Was there a correction officer stabbed? Wasn't there something like that been done before TAMS was open? Wasn't there some issues where the officers, there was one stabbed, and one showed me a big wound where they stabbed out there, a correction officer? What I'm getting at, since that day that we opened TAMS, and we put them people in TAM, have we had any kind of more issues like that before?
We average, I believe it's 60 assaults a month in our maximum security facilities. We have serious incidents that occur. We have 48,000 inmates. We have some very serious offenders. The situation that you made, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, the more serious assaults on staff, you know, we don't see as often as much as we have in the past, but we still have assaults, we still have disturbances, we still have some issues with our facility, mainly the maximum security.
How many we had down TAM since it's been open?
TAM's averages 21 assaults a month, if I'm not mistaken.
So. I don't know. I'm not 100%. Was that 21%?
No, it's 21, and I will recheck that. Maybe I am wrong, but that's the figure I was calling.
So my deal is, running through the country and all that, and TAMS and some of the other prisoners said, Gary, here's the deal. Prisoners and officers. It's not just the officers. It's the prisoners, too. Please do not send these people to this prison or any prison in the state of Illinois. The prisoners in the state of Illinois are scared. They don't want these people in the prisons. Not the officers. The prisoners are saying they don't want it. So you think that putting these people in these other prisons, we're not going to go back to where we was? There's going to be more trouble, more problems? No.
And I misspoke. I was very wrong. It was 21 a year.
No. 21 a year. Okay, that's all.
Okay, thank you. Representative Bost, and then we're going to move on to panel number three.
Thank you, Mr.
The
Chairman.
Local elected officials. Representative Bost.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director, you said that you've been in corrections how long?
39 years.
What was your position in corrections when PAMS was created and put online?
I was not in the Illinois Department of Corrections. I was in... as deputy director in Michigan, if I'm not mistaken.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to find out. Do you know the actual amount of murders that had occurred in our correctional facilities 10 years prior?
The exact amount.
Ten years prior to the creation of TAM.
No, I don't.
Okay. I think you'll hear testimony about exactly what that is today, and I hope that you pay close attention. Let me tell you that first off. Thank you for coming down. I also need to express your job is to defend the governor's position pretty well, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, okay. I have been a legislator for 18 years. I was here when TAMS was created. I know what it did to the safety of our guards. And even for the safety of our inmates. I don't know what your answer will be to correct the problems of the past. I do know that TAMS has been successful at correcting the issues we had at the time 18 to 20 years ago. And I would be very, very afraid of going back to what we had before, because I don't want to be a legislator, and I'm sure you don't want to be the director that has to tell a family that their mom or their dad isn't coming home because they weren't protected correctly. And I know you have a job that you have to do, and I understand that and I respect you for that. But understand that each of us have a job, and I appreciate the panel for being here. But this is really, really serious. We're not. I'm for protecting jobs. Don't get me wrong. I know these people. I want to make sure they have their jobs. But it's a whole lot more than jobs. It's about a safety issue. And I don't know that you have an answer to keep that safety. I know you say you do, but I don't know that you have an answer to keep it safe. When you talk about putting someone in the existing facilities, what is the population in those cells at this time?
Pontiac has 220 vacant beds in their facility.
In those areas where the toughest, where we could put and house these particular inmates?
Yes, sir.
All right. What type of situation would they be in comparison to TAMS?
Almost identical. They would all be single-celled. The galleries in Pontiac have an additional weapon in the tower inside the cell block. The front cells are blocked and no one can reach out to. That's where I said where if we have to, in one gallery and three gallery, if we have to move some to five galleries, we would then put plexiglass to enhance the expanded metal that's on front of the cell.
How is inmate movement handled in those type situations?
The inmate movement for this population would be identical, be two-on-one at the very least. Again, the policies and procedures will follow.
Representative Bradley, then Representative Cavaletto, and then if no one else has any questions, we're going to move to the next panel, which consists of elected officials. Representative Bradley.
Is this the only Supermax facility in the state?
Yes, sir.
So there's no prison comparable to what TAMS does currently, correct?
Currently in housing, no.
That's correct, then, correct?
Correct.
Okay. It'll be a lot easier if you just answer my questions.
And I thought I did.
So, so Menards currently holds 3,619 prisoners?
I believe so.
521 more than what they were designed to hold, correct?
Probably.
Pontiac was built in 1871, correct?
Correct.
It was built to hold 1,800 people, correct?
I believe so.
It now holds 1,710, correct?
Correct.
There's more than 90 people at TAMS currently, correct?
Correct.
The prison system has currently got the most prisoners in it that it's ever had in the history of the state, correct?
No.
No?
No.
In recent history, correct?
We have been down 1,000 inmates since I came on board. So
okay.
We were at 49.3 at one point.
So what was it? What was it 3 years ago?
45.5.
45.5 to 49. What?
3.
So we're at 4,000 prisoners in the last 3 years, correct?
Correct.
And we're at the shortest staffing levels that the state's had in years, correct?
That's correct.
And the proposal is to close the only Supermax facility we have in the state?
Correct.
Okay.
I represent Cavaletta. Thank you and welcome today to Southern Illinois. I know this is not easy. It's not easy for any of us. But I just want to make one statement here, a few statements, that lost jobs between Murray Center and TAMS will be over 1,000 people down here in Southern Illinois. Hundreds more providers. We have about a 12% unemployment rate down here now. And millions of dollars in taxes we're going to lose. And that's a lot between Marion here and or Salem and Cairo. That's a lot of jobs. We had people in my district working at TAMS also. And the statement I also want to make is we lost a death penalty, and now we're going to lose TAMS, a supermax. What is the deterrent for murder now? Is it one life sentence, two life sentences, three life sentences? Four life sentences, five life sentences, six life sentences. It's just one life sentence for every person you kill. It doesn't make any difference. So I think our state is going too easy on murders and crime. I think we're too easy. The last question I have is, what are we going to do with Thompson? We built a brand new facility. What are we going to do with Thompson now?
I am so sorry. I am not prepared to answer that question. I focused on TAMS.
Representative, we've held hearings on Thompson before. The status of that is it's in the final stages of discussion between the state and the federal government on the acquisition by the federal government to deal with their overcrowding problem. As you know, because Congress has not had anything but continuing budget resolutions, they have not been able to appropriate the balance between what the agreed to asking price is and what's been authorized in the federal budget the last time they had a budget to pay. That's, I think, a gap of about $35 to $40 million. So that ship has sailed. Do you have any further questions?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Costello.
I apologize for coming in a little bit late here, trying to catch up with everything. I have a curious parallel in my own mind. I represent Chester Mental Health Facility, which is the only maximum security mental health facility in the state. And not too long ago, the governor proposed closing Chester Mental Health. Now we're looking at closing TAMS, which is the only maximum security prison in the state.
Supermax,
correct. I'm just wondering if there's any parallel there, cost-wise, what the thinking is, because, you know, I can see prisons, you know, situations when you're moving one prisoner to a life-type situation. To me, this makes absolutely no sense. Number two, one question maybe for someone from a budget perspective, just to think about a little bit. The gentlemen up here as legislators, we all represent Southern Illinois, okay? So when you're talking about 300, 350 jobs, like Brandon's talking about in his district, these are good-paying jobs for men and women in Southern Illinois. Okay, replacing jobs like that in a northern area, maybe it's a little bit different. But from an economic impact in Southern Illinois, in our region, this is unabsorbable. So that's something that I think needs to be considered. If you could answer just those two questions, please. Somebody maybe from a budget perspective, and the thought pattern of, you know, Chester Mental Health and TAMS. It makes no sense to me.
Representative, on your first question, I can't speak to what the cost is at Chester Mental Health, as that's a DHS facility. However, I can tell you that the TAMS Correctional Center does cost approximately $26.5 million per year to operate, to house roughly 400 inmates. As far as the economic impact on the economy in Southern Illinois, as part of this process, we did have an economic analysis done and was submitted for the commission on what the economic impact of this closure would be. And we're not trying to say that impact is not critical. However, we had to take a look at our operation, given the budgetary constraints that we had, and given the inmate population levels that we had, we felt that moving and proposing to close TAMS Correctional Center had the least amount of impact on our overall operation, given our overall inmate population. In the economic analysis that was done by the University of Illinois, it did indicate a total economic impact, and this includes a direct loss and indirect losses of approximately $33 million on the community in the surrounding regions.
So $33
million? Yes.
It is. And $33 million in Southern Illinois and $33 million in Chicago in Northern Illinois are two different numbers. Okay, and I don't know if you all realize that, but they absolutely positively are. And replacing jobs that pay $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 in Southern Illinois is completely different than trying to replace those jobs in Northern Illinois. And we're talking about quality of life for the people we represent, number one, okay? And actually, parallel, I can't say number two. The other thing, as Brandon expressed earlier, and Gary, and Mike, and John Bradley, we're concerned about safety, the safety of the workers, okay? I go back to the Supermax. That's a major problem for us as legislators. This, to me, is a ridiculous situation. I understand we're all in a budget crunch. We're trying to make numbers work. There's no doubt that steps have to be made. But I just, in my opinion, this is ludicrous to me. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Poe, and then we'll move to panel number three of the elected officials. I want to encourage members of the commission and the other members of the General Assembly to be mindful of the time constraints that we're under as well. Representative Poe.
For the budget director, what did it cost to build TAMS?
Cost to build TAMS? I can get that. I don't have that figure with me.
$70 million sound right?
How much? $70 million. Approximately.
Are we still paying for it? Is it bonded? Is it paid off?
No, I'm sure we're still. I'm sure the state's still paying on the bonds, probably. Yes.
I don't. I mean, this whole thing is, it's the newest, most state-of-the-art, probably one of them in the country, and we're going to go to a facility that's 40 years old. Something about common sense, I don't know where that's entered into this decision. And I don't see how any facility that's 40 years old can be efficient as a new facility. So take that away, that.
Thank you. If there are no other questions from members of the commission, thank you. Next to panel number three, Senator Gary Forby, Representative Brandon Phelps, Carol Mitchell, the Vice President, the Village President of TAMS, Jim Cross, Mayor of Anna, Mark Houston, the Vice Mayor of TAMS, Don Denny, Commissioner of Union County Board, Mike Caldwell, Chairman of the Alexander County Board, Monte Russell, the Chairman of the Pulaski County Board, and Janet Ulrich, the Superintendent, Regional Office of Education. Before you begin your remarks, please identify yourselves for the commission, and when you're ready, please proceed.
Thank you, Gary Forby, State Senator, 59th District. This is my district we're in tonight. I want to thank everybody for coming down and appreciate it. And I know after the day that I'm convinced good things is going to happen while we're here today. You know, I don't believe that we should be closing any facilities until we have done a budget line. I think the state of Illinois is need to go through their budget line to make sure we close any facilities to make sure it's happening. I don't believe that we should close any facilities when there's new spending. The state of Illinois is wanting to spend another $100 million in the budget. Another $100 million in the budget, and we're wanting to close 8 prisons. This money here would keep all the prisons open, and they wouldn't be closed. I go back to the budget issue. The best way to balance the budget is put people back to work, not lay people off. Governor Quinn, when he went out to campaign and done all his stuff, he said the best thing to do to get out of our budget problem is putting people to work. Everybody hearing, jobs, jobs, jobs. What's he doing today? He's taking our jobs away from us. He's not talking straight with us. Jobs is the way to balance our budget. Laying people off is not the right way. It took us 30 years to get in this mess. You can blame Republicans, you can blame Democrats, you can blame independents, you can blame people that don't vote, you can blame anybody you want to. This will not get over overnight. You cannot cut your way out of it. You know, if you're anybody that's been in business, understanding is what I'm saying today. You don't do that in business. You don't do it in the state of Illinois. Times was built to hold the worst of the worst. Murders, rapists, gang leaders, prisoners. They've attacked the guard. They killed out of prison. I looked in the newspaper the other day and said, we don't have no more gang leaders. Well, that's crazy. Everybody in this room knows that. You got gang leaders in the 7th and 8th grade. 7th and 8th grade got gang leaders. So there are gang leaders out there. There are murders out there. One woman out of 4 gets raped. So don't tell me that stuff does. The administration can't explain why these dangerous criminals, they can't explain why and where they shipped them off. You know, we need a plan. This governor came up and said, you know what, I'm going to close 11 or 8 or 9 places. There's no plan. How much is it going to save? When are you going to move them? Where are you going to move them to? Is it going to be safe or is it going to be right? Today, with TAMS, prisoners are saying in other places in the state of Illinois and correctional workers, say, Gary, if you close TAMS down, please don't send them to my district. The prisoners in every prison in the state of Illinois said, don't send them people to my place. They might be some exceptions in there. Then if they are, we need to look at them. Majority of them are not exceptions. Bernard, we just talked about that, holds 3,619 prisons, 521 more than it's supposed to hold. You're putting people in there, we're already overcrowded. I think in the state of Illinois, there's 15,000 overcrowded prisoners. This is wrong. Pontiac, built 1871. Got to be really nice. got to be really good, you know, keep up something up 1890s. This prison was built in 1997. So this place is working. If we can work out something, you want to do something else with it, you want to work with us, I can understand it. But towns, when prisons close, they will lose their jobs. And it went on a while ago. Somebody said, you know, jobs. Correction called me, said in the governor's plan that we're going to lay off 1,000 people. 1,000 people. Let's go back to Alexander again. They don't buy gas there no more. They don't buy clothes there no more. So you're going to shut that little town down. And when these prisons was being built, God, go back when I was on the county board 20 years ago. When these prisons were built, nobody up north wanted them. Send them down south to them little people down there. Send them down south to the little people. We don't want them
in our
jail.
That's not true.
Hey, we don't want them in our jail.
That's not true.
That's true.
That is not true.
Well, it's my story, and I'm talking now. It is true.
Senator, could you bring your remarks to a call?
Yes. Okay. Well, we need to keep TAMs open. This community is needed. Prison guards all over the state is needed. TAMs was built for a reason. It was built here for a reason. Let's do the right thing. Let's keep the jobs in our community. Keep people safe. Keep TAMs correction open. And help Southern Illinois. And this is not going to cure the budget. So let's do the right thing. TAMs need to stay open. We need to look at it down the road. We think there's some people in there that shouldn't be there. We can get a committee and look at that. But let's do the right thing. It's doing the right thing. We have not had hardly any other issues in the state of Illinois since a TAM is open. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Trump, can you just wait till we hear from you?
I'll wait.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairman Schoenberg and Chairwoman Bellock. I really appreciate you being here today. I wish we were here on different circumstances because I do think it's ridiculous that we're even here, because I'm going to go a little further and tell you what I think is true. I think there's some philosophical differences with TAMS being a supermax, and I think this budget is just a game to get right at what TAMS is, because there are philosophical differences between up around Chicago and us downstate. I think that's the major deal right now, and it's sad that this is part of the game, because also in this game, you're affecting people's lives. I think that's the real crux of this today, and let's be honest with one another, it is. So I don't understand for the life of me, though, why would somebody want to go after TAMS, even if they do have that philosophical difference about who we house there and why. I believe, and I think most of us in this room believe, that TAMS plays a vital role with our Illinois prison system. Its mere existence to inmates plays a significant role to the safety and well-being of all Illinois correctional officers and the public. It helps all correctional officers with their safety. Without TAMS, I believe the governor is gambling with people's lives and with public safety. We all know what happened a few years ago when he ran in the primary on the early release. That backfired, and so will this. You heard about Senator Forby saying that. I do myself kind of agree that there were a lot of areas in the state that did not want correctional facilities. We did in Southern Illinois. We welcomed them with open arms because we needed the jobs. And we still rely on those jobs as part of our economy today. History has also shown that TAMS works. Gangs ran the prison before TAMS, no doubt about it. Assaults were all-time high. Drug use, weapons confiscated were all-time high. And gang activity was at an all-time high. IDOC had to do something, and thank God, I think it was Governor Edgar and some around here in this community, that opened TAMS. Things turned around for the better after we opened TAMS. Everything I just discussed, assaults, drug use, gang activity, decreased. So we felt good because we felt that was a good part of the system to help these correction officers get home at night to their loved ones. I know my time's running out, but I just fear this. I fear that if we close TAMS, our prison system is going to go backwards. There is no doubt in my mind, because the prisoners, these type of inmates that are housed there, they're in fear of no retribution. We need this for the system. We need this for our hardworking people, and we need it for our economy. Please do the right thing and keep TAMS open. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Carol Mitchell. I'm president of the Village Board of Trustees for TAMS. As our village governing body, we want to go on record as we do oppose the closing of the TAMS Correctional Facility. Since we live in a rural area, most of the economic statistics that you will hear will concern the five southernmost counties of Illinois. Myself, our vice mayor, are here only to speak about the statistics this is going to have on our small village. It's different numbers than you're used to hearing, I'm sure. Now, according to the latest correct figures from the U.S. Census Bureau, TAMS has a total population of 1,043 people. Of that figure, 396 are inmates at the TAMS Correctional Center. That represents 38% of our total population. As elected officials, I don't have to even begin to tell you what a 38% drop in shared revenue will do to us. You all understand how it works. The TAMS Correctional Facility employs a total of 6 residents inside the village limits of TAMS. This may not seem like a lot to you all, but if you take our non-inmate population, deduct our disabled, our retired, our children, our students, we're looking at a available workforce of approximately 180 people. These 6 jobs represent 30% of our total available workforce. Take 30% of jobs away from another community and see if they don't hurt. Correctional employees, they've got a difficult job. They've got trying circumstances. I can and I will tell you this. Our correctional employees that work at TAMS are valuable members of our community. They contribute to our churches, our local volunteer fire departments, our local schools. They even get out and make sure that each inmate at TAMS that has a child at Christmas, that child gets a Christmas present. And it's from these type of people. If you suck the lifeblood of our jobs, then our town is gone. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Jim Cross. I'm the mayor of the city of Anna. We're a little bit north of TAMS. We have a lot of employees of TAMS that work in Anna. TAMS does a lot of shopping at our grocery stores and stuff for certain things. When TAMS first started, I can remember the state was looking for people to help fund this. The people of Southern Illinois, which is one of the poorest parts of the state, helped raise the money to buy the property and do a lot of the stuff for TAMS to come here. We thought it was a prison that was needed. Apparently, from what you hear from everybody, it is. We did not cause these people to go to TAMS. TAMS prison was built for prisoners that they couldn't control someplace else. We all know that. We're not the ones that sent them there. They didn't get there for doing peddly stuff. They got at TAMS for being a problem in the prison system. We are not happy that they're there. You know, I would like to say nobody ever has to go to prison again. We didn't do the crime. We are the citizens and the employees that are trying to make things work right for them. When you take a prison like that away from us down here, which you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know about the economics down here, you are absolutely killing Southern Illinois. Thank you.
My name is Janet Ulrich, and I serve as the regional superintendent for the lower 5 county area. I'm coming from an educational perspective, and I'm going to be an advocate for the children today, the children of these 302 families. Now, this is another perspective. It's beyond the budget. It's beyond the economics here. But for every dollar spent in a county and it turns over four times, it adds to that economy in that county. Our five county needs it. Also, it adds to the school district's budget. And when you look at what our school districts are living on, trying to make their budgets work for the children they serve, it's very, very detrimental in many ways. To lose the TAMS prison and employees and families in this area would be very detrimental to our school districts. Secondly, when you look at the county homes and the homeowners, landowners in these five counties, that money also goes to property taxes. And our district superintendents and our school board will levy for taxes for these children to be served. If this TAMS prison closes, the tax levies and the EABs will be reduced and it will impact the districts. Another component of this, and this is something that no one has thought about, but I know that Governor's group mentioned earlier about relocation. Yes, there'll be relocation, there'll be jobs in other areas. But have you ever thought about how many children will be relocated? If you take the 302 TAMS employees, and let's say that 56% of those children or those families have children, two or more, that means that there could potentially be 338 or more children relocated to a different location. And with that information, if you look at research, it's very hard on a child when they're relocated to another school system. We see the academics being impacted, we see more behavioral problems, and we may even see dropouts. So I ask you today, consider the children of these families, of these employees, before a final decision is made to close it. If this is a vote you want to consider, think about what these children will be going through, because relocation is not best for children. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Lamar Houston, Vice Mayor of TAMS, also holding a dual role as again, President of the District School Board. I have a letter here that I'd like to present to the committee that's against the closure of the TAMS prison from Egyptian High School. I'm going to speak on the economic impact of a small village like TAMS, what it would do if the Supermax was closed. First, we have the utilities. We have the CMAX can have consumed 27% of the gas usage in TAMS. If CMAX was to leave TAMS, that would leave us, we're losing a profit of $29,000 a year for a small community like TAMS. The water, the Supermax prison, consume 80% of our water usage there in TAMS. Losing a profit, if we lose the CMAX, we'd be losing a profit of another $20,000. All right, then we have the electric tax there in TAMS. TAMS is one of the few communities around that does charge a 5% utility tax, which that helped TAMS pay for some of the stuff that we had to do, that we had to get in order to get the CMAX started. And it right now, it controls 95% of our taxes, and that's a dollar total of $18,000 a year we would be losing. On our local merchants there in TAMS, we have one grocery store. Right now, if we lose CMAX again, it's 15% of what they would be taking in. We have a dollar store, and this figure here is just only based on the last 3 months, because the dollar store has only been there for about 3 months, and it figured to be about 5% of what their total bill would be a year. Also, we have a flower shop that would be losing 10%, and our other vendors we believe losing 5%. We also have there, that would affect it a lot, would be our post office there. Right now, the CMAX controls 30 to 35% of our rural deliveries, and this would cause our rural carrier to be a downgrade in its pay. And we also have a bank there that we didn't have the dollar figure on it, but we'd be losing about 2% of it. So I say to you today, to me, listening to Senator Forby, Representative Bell, it doesn't sound like it's the dollar issue here. It sounds like the people stuck to Southern Illinois here are the ones getting stuck with this. We need to keep these jobs here for CPAC. So I say to you at the end, let's save lives. Let's keep Tam prison. commissioner, and one of you asked the question, what TAMS cost. I was co-chair of the Southernmost Illinois Prison Committee that helped bring the prison to TAMS. The cost of the Supermax was $60 million. The work camp was additional. Added, it was $12 million, so that was the original cost in 93. If you need any other statistics, we have them. So, in 1993, just to give you a real quick history, why we wanted the Supermax. In 1993, Bunny Bread and Florsheim closed in Union County. It affected six or eight counties where employees from those facilities work. It was a $5 million payroll. So we lost 450 jobs. The unemployment in these 16, six lower counties was 18 to 20%. So we started looking at what we could do. And of course, the state was doing their study, and we made proposals to Supermax, and luckily we put a committee together. Every county commissioner in the lower five counties supported this. Every city supported it with a letter. We had hundreds. Department of Corrections should still have the three-inch binder that we put together. But we really wanted this. We all pulled together, and as the FAR said, we had different kinds of fundraisers. Our committee raised $97,000 for the village of TAMS to do some of their infrastructure. Congressman's father, Costello, got us a $1.2 million grant to help pay for the water tower, roads, and the bridge into there that you probably traveled over today. So this was a big effort, not only from our local officials back then, but also from Congressman Costello, who covered that big district. So we worked very hard to get this, and now we're looking again to where we could cut as many jobs, but the impact is a little bit different. This would affect 12 counties, everything from Williamson County south. Williamson County has 42 employees. A lot of people don't realize that. Union County has 92, and Alexander County is the next. But this would affect 12 counties. And some of the figures were thrown out, $15 million payroll, but that would always like to roll that over five times. That's a $75 million economic impact. What would our unemployment be? It would probably be 18 to 20%, where we were in 93 and 94. So we need these jobs. We don't need to go out and create jobs. The governor lost Caterpillar to Georgia. Well, let's save the jobs we have here. Let's don't go out and try to create jobs. We got the jobs. Let's save them. I just want to quote an article that was in the Southern. TAM should remain open, and institutions' employees should remain in the job they perform at an affordable price. There is no doubt that our state needs to cut expenses, but the proposed changes of closing TAMs would create expenses far in excess of any potential savings. This really is about protecting. This isn't really about protecting our own, though we are proud to do so. It's about the right thing to do.
Thank you
very much.
Yes, I'm Mike Caldwell. I'm the chairman of Alexander County Board of Commissioners. I represent the people of Alexander County. We have 72 employees that's employed at TAMS from Alexander County, and we ask you not to close TAMS. It will be an economic burden on Alexander County, which we already strapped. And, you know, these are dedicated employees throughout our prison systems, including TAMS Correction Center. This time last year, well, not this time, but the end of April last year, we experienced one of the most horrible disasters we've ever had experienced, the flood. We had over 350 homes destroyed. We faced a mandatory evacuation of the city of Carroll. That was over 3,000 residents. Senator Forby, Representative Brandon Phelps, Lieutenant Simon, and Governor Quinn, they all toured our place, our county, walked and seen the sandbag operation. Our inmates at TAMS Correction Center at the MSU, the Minimum Security Unit, helped with sandbagging operations, which helped a lot of our communities, and it was very beneficial. We had volunteers all through the southern region helping us with sandbagging. You know, we ask you today to keep this facility open. A lot of our residents are still going through the hardship of getting their lives back together, still repairing their homes. If you shut this facility down and our staff has to relocate, that's more burden on them. And I hate to see that happen. You know, part of our job as elected officials is to protect and serve. You know, you take care and protect people within your boundaries, within your jurisdiction. I'm also employed with Illinois Department of Corrections, 27 years. I started out my career at Shawnee Correction Center, transferred to TAMS, April 95 and went to Supermax before it opened up in December 97. I worked with some of the most dedicated correctional staff in the state of Illinois. I'm glad to walk shoulder to shoulder with them, toe to toe. Okay, and I appreciate you guys giving us the time of day to sit here before you and talk to you. Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Monty Russell. I am here representing Pulaski County. I'm the chairman of the Pulaski County Board of Commissioners. We are a close-knit community, as you may have been able to tell from some of the testimony that you've received today. We are truly concerned about the families and the lives that are affected by the loss of any employment opportunity in this community, because not only does it affect Pulaski County, it affects the surrounding counties, as you mentioned. We understand budget issues. As chairman of the board, I truly understand budget issues. It's something that we all struggle with. However, within those budget issues, we have to take into consideration the people that we represent and the people that we serve, the people that we care about, the people that we meet in the grocery stores. Our kids play ball together. We go to church together. We laugh together. We play together. We grieve together. We are a close-knit community. The Pulaski County Board of Commissioners does oppose, we adamantly oppose the closing of TAMS because of what it will do to our community. We need that employment. We need that. It was mentioned today, and I'm not sure who mentioned it, about the bucket being kicked down the road. And the issue, in my view, is the fact that the people in that bucket are the people of my community. We appreciate your consideration, and we would like for you to take into context the enormity of what we're dealing with in the face of such a loss. Please, please.
Our next panel consists, we're on panel number four.
Hold on. I'm sorry.
All right, while panel number four comes forward, Senator Trotter has a panel number four, David Plotty, Deborah Ehrenberg, Alan Mills, Gene McLean Snyder, Lori Jo Reynolds, Professor Stephen Eisenman, Claire Leslie, and Brian Nelson. While they come forward, Senator Trotter, you had a question for Senator Corby.
Well, actually, in the members who may be on this panel and the panel previously, maybe the legislators can tell myself and the rest of the people here, how many bills do we have unpaid here in the state of Illinois? Do you have that answer? I know the answer.
I'm sorry, I can't.
We have $8 billion in unpaid bills here in Illinois. Do either of you or any of you know what our pension obligation is for this year?
About 5 or 6.
5.1, absolutely correct. On what we're expected our Medicaid growth to be. Well, just to make it all simple, I mean, it's good to hear you give your speeches while you're here at home and get the cheers. But the other question is, how many of you voted, and this is for the House members, last week, your members that you listened to that you cheered for, last week voted to cut the budget by another 14%. They wanted to do different, wanted to do business differently, but they come home and say, you can't mess with TAMS, you can't make any cuts, but they're in Springfield cutting the budget and telling TAMS and the rest of the prisons 14%. So you cannot have it both ways. So the thing is as we try to bring our house back into order, what we did in 92 and 97, and I was here then, I've been here for 24 years, and what happened then is we had money. We're out of money all over the state. You're going to stay up in Chicago. For those who don't know here, and I've told others, I'm from Cairo, Illinois. 827 23rd Street. So, you know, don't get all of this that everybody is from Chicago, Illinois, doesn't have a clue. It's never been easy down here. But the thing is, we're trying to look at this in its entirety, and those who keep espousing rhetoric is not going to make it any better.
Now, Senator Corby, and then we're going to move on.
I agree with what you're saying. Why are we added $100 million to the budget then? Why don't we tighten things up?
Well, the thing is, sir, we have not added anything. We're in the middle of budget negotiations as you speak.
And
that's why we're having these hearings.
The governor is proposing $100 million.
We have not added anything to the budget, sir. You know, we have. We've cut the budget, and we've agreed to cut the budget already from the governor's proposed budget that he said he wanted in February. Have we not?
We're working on a number. I'm ready to cut
But, you know, just playing to the crowds, is one, is not going to make their job or our job any easier or make them feel any more comfortable. Quit the BS.
All right, we'll next hear from members of Panel 4, representatives of advocacy organizations. As you begin your remarks, please identify yourselves to the record.
Senator Schoenberg, Representative Bellick, good afternoon, members of the commission. My name is David Fossey. I'm director of the ACLU National Prison Project in Washington, D.C. Prisons have always had segregation units where prisoners were sent for short periods as punishment for specific acts of misconduct. What is different and problematic about supermax prisons like TAMS is that isolation has become a long-term management strategy. Prisoners at TAMS, many of them mentally ill, are held in long-term solitary confinement, in many cases for more than 10 years continuously. No one disputes that these conditions are profoundly and sometimes irreparably damaging, especially to persons with mental illness. Every single federal court to address the issue, in lawsuits brought by the ACLU and by others, has ruled that holding prisoners with mental illness in supermax prisons like TAMS causes such extreme suffering that it violates the Constitution's prohibition on cruel and unusual punishment. Now, as Director Godinez said, by closing TAMS, Illinois would be joining a growing group of states that have reduced their use of solitary confinement while protecting public safety and saving millions of taxpayer dollars. Mississippi recently closed a 1,000-bed supermax prison, saving $8 million annually. Maine has cut its solitary confinement population by more than half in just over a year. Colorado has reduced its solitary population by several hundred, and as a result, just announced that it is closing a 316-bed supermax unit, which will save more than $18 million in the next 2 years. None of these states has experienced any adverse effect on prison or public safety. In fact, Mississippi saw prison violence decrease by 70%. And this is exactly what we would expect, because prisoners held in solitary confinement have higher recidivism rates than comparable prisoners held in general population. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Deborah Ehrenberg. I'm an Illinois resident and the regional director for Amnesty International. Amnesty International supports the proposal to close TAMS. We've repeatedly raised concerns about this facility, where prisoners are confined for up to 23 hours a day in stark cells, often for months or years, with little exercise or human contact. This flouts international standards for the humane treatment of prisoners and violates international standards against torture and ill treatment. The U.S. has ratified the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights and the Convention Against Torture, both of which prohibit torture and other cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment. The UN Human Rights Committee has emphasized that the prohibition of such treatment under international law relates not only to acts that cause physical pain, but also to acts that cause mental suffering. and that solitary confinement, even for a limited period, may amount to torture. Both the Human Rights Committee and the UN Commission Against Torture have criticized harsh conditions of isolation in several U.S. high-security facilities as incompatible with humane treatment. And Amnesty International researchers found conditions at TAMS that violate these international standards, including prolonged isolation and the inadequate treatment of psychological issues arising from or exacerbated by that confinement. The governor's proposal to close TAMS provides our state with an opportunity to reaffirm its commitment to human rights and the rule of law. It's an opportunity to demonstrate that it's never necessary and never acceptable to violate an individual's human rights simply because they've been committed of a crime, convicted of a crime. We've repeatedly urged reforms to bring TAMS up to international standards. That has not happened. It's time for this facility to close. Thank you.
Thank you. You know what? I want to emphasize once again, we don't want to have to ask anybody to leave. Everybody's point of view gets respected, whether you agree with it or not. And the more more public demonstrations there are, the less time there is for you and your neighbors to have the opportunity to share your views with the commission, who will ultimately be voting on whether or not to recommend to accept the governor's request to close TAMS. So, please proceed.
Yes. Hello, commissioners. My name is Stephen Eisenman. I'm a professor at Northwestern University and a member of TAMS Year 10. It's been claimed that supermax prisons reduce prison violence and recidivism, but a review of the scholarly research reveals that supermax prisons, including TAMS, have not reduced violence against either prisoners or guards or lowered recidivism rates. In a peer-reviewed article by Jody Sunt from 2008 in the widely respected Prison Journal, the authors concluded there was no association between the opening of TAMS and the number of inmate-on-inmate assaults, and only a brief reduction the following year in assaults against staff. A broader review of history reveals that assaults against prison guards in Illinois began to decline 2 years before the opening of TAMS Supermax. Following the release of the Illinois Task Force on Crime and Corrections in 1993, and in the wake of the scandal surrounding the discovery of the Richard Speck sex tapes in 1996, significant changes were made to ensure the security of Illinois maximum security prisons. These changes included the zoning of large prisons into a number of smaller subunits to better control inmates, the use of armed staff to escort prisoners during movements, the expansion of segregation units within existing minimum and maximum security prisons, and the implementation of a gang-free prison program. These and other changes had an immediate impact upon the number of prison assaults. By the time TAMS opened 2 years later, the number of assaults on staff had dropped to a 15-year low despite an escalating prison population. In other words, there was no more reason to think that TAMS prevented violence in the prisons than to think that the election of George Bush did in 2000. Those happen to be the facts. If supermax prisons don't decrease system-wide violence, neither do they lower recidivism rates. And a study of the Washington State prison system indicated that those who had been serving in supermax prisons were more likely to produce increased crimes than those who had not because of their experience of extreme isolation. So in short, there is no statistical or other evidence that TAMS reduces aggregate violence in Illinois prisons. There is some statistical evidence that it may increase recidivism rates. Therefore, there is no reason to keep TAMS open from a criminological point of view.
Thank you. Stop it.
My name is Alan Mills. I'm the legal director at the Uptown People's Law Center. We've represented many men at TAMS, including in March 1998. I set up what I believe was the first legal call at TAMS with a prisoner named Marcus Chapman. I wish I could tell you that he is still confined at TAMS Correctional Center. However, after a couple of years, he committed suicide in TAMS because he gave up on getting out in any other way. It was his third attempt at suicide. at TAMS, and he committed it while in the mental health unit at TAMS. In June of 2010, in a case that we brought back in 2000, Judge Murphy of the Southern District of Illinois ruled that long-term confinement at a supermax prison like TAMS, or TAMS in particular, causes long-term permanent damage to men's minds. Therefore, he ruled, you must have a good reason when you send people to TAMS. And for the first time in 12 years, he ordered that hearings be held and prisoners be given a chance to defend themselves as to why they were sent to TAMS and told for the first time why they were sent there. During those hearings that were held, many were found not to belong at TAMS, and you have seen over the last 2 years an emptying out of the prison. It's a 500-bed prison. As you heard earlier, there are currently less than 200 men there. That's because other people don't belong there. That process is continuing. It's time to close TAMS. You've heard a lot of statements about violence and TAMS' effect on violence. I think that Rick Baird and George Wellborn, I see they're both on the agenda for later, can give you song and verse much better than I can, but the number of changes that are made in the Department of Corrections, in every other facility, in management, is what caused that reduction. You got rid of the gangs, you got rid of the drugs, you got rid of the weapons, you got rid of the gang colors everywhere. All of that has changed. Nobody says we should go back to 1998 and the prior years. Nobody wants that prison system back again, but TAMS had nothing to do with that. And whatever it did do back in 1998, its time is long past. It's a waste of money, and it should be closed now.
Thank you.
My name is Jean McLean Snyder. I'm a lawyer who's represented many men at TAMS beginning in 1998, mostly over the issue of their housing of seriously mentally ill people at TAMS. TAMS is the only facility in Illinois that we have built that is designed to avoid human contact. There are no communal areas. It is a big, gray, bleak concrete box. No windows except for a little slit above eye level. There's another big box at the end of the pod, which is supposed to be where you exercise, so the prisoners never get out or see the light of day. This kind of prison attracts mentally ill people. Many, many mentally ill people are sent there disproportionately, and it makes people sicker. When George Wellborn and others planned TAMS, it was supposed to be short-term confinement, mindful of how horrible it would be to exist there. Instead, it has launched into confinement of a matter of decades. I went there last month, and I saw many men, seriously mentally ill men, who I had met at TAMS in 1998. In the written statement that I've submitted to you folks, I've given some details about a couple of them. I'm not going to go over that here because of time. But basically, there are many men who live a life of delusion, who are heavily drugged, strapped in therapeutic restraints, and who repeatedly injure themselves. We're speaking of fundamental reasons based on human decency why closing this prison is a good idea. For once, a budget change will result in something that benefits the criminal justice system. I hope you support Governor Quinn in closing TAMS. Thank you.
Please proceed.
Hi, my name is Lori Jo Reynolds. I'm with TAMS here at 10. There's a misunderstanding about the legislative intent of this prison. The Supermax was first proposed in Governor Edgar's 1993 Task Force Report on Crime and Corrections. Its guiding concept was that deprivation of every kind would be designed into the architecture and philosophy of the prison. However, it was supposed to be for short-term placement. In fact, Edgar's report explicitly stated that warehousing men in long-term isolation would be a misuse of this facility. We misuse this facility. Indeed, the first men sent there were told by Warden Wellborn that they would be there only for a year. 1 year became two, two became three, and at the 10-year mark, one-third of the men had been there a decade. At this painful anniversary, our diverse statewide coalition launched a legislative campaign to reform TAMS.
It struck a chord. Putting people into long-term cold storage offends a basic sense of decency. I've toured TAMS twice, Pontiac twice, Stateville, Menard, and others. These prisons are old and tough, but they were not engineered for psychological deprivation. TAMS is like descending into an underground bunker with no natural light or air. Men are sealed off in galleries, inside wings, inside pods. There is no movement. It's a giant mausoleum. Some people think the policies are the problem, not the prison, and they have a point. We tried to reform the prison. But the architecture is overwhelming and defining. It seems that policies follow the architecture. You can't condemn a person to complete social exclusion and still see him as deserving of human dignity. Even the men lose their dignity, and many descend into cutting, smearing feces, and suicide attempts. Everyone who works there knows that. The Supermax is an aberration in corrections, and we are outliers in the world. There's a growing consensus that this trend was an expensive mistake. It was not the right thing for Illinois, and now economic realities allow us to do the right thing and close it. My grandfather always told me, if you have gone down the wrong road, no matter how far, turn around.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Claire Leslie. My name is Claire Leslie. I'm the coordinator for the Midwest Coalition for Human Rights. I'm here today representing 56 organizations, service providers, university centers that make up the Midwest Coalition for Human Rights, a network, a regional network that works to promote and protect human rights in the heartland. The Midwest Coalition supports the closure of TAMS Correctional Center and calls for an end to prolonged isolation in jails and prisons on the basis that the practice violates basic human rights and human dignity. The nature of confinement at TAMS has harmful and irreversible psychological effects. These impair individuals' ability to reintegrate into society when released from imprisonment and are damaging to relationships, families, and communities. As my colleague Deborah Ehrenberg previously described, prolonged isolation is contrary to international standards. In a report delivered at the United Nations General Assembly in August 2011, UN Special Rapporteur on Torture Juan Mendez states that solitary confinement, when used for the purpose of punishment, cannot be justified for any reason, precisely because it imposes severe mental pain and suffering beyond any reasonable retribution for criminal behavior. Additionally, he finds solitary confinement to be contrary to one of the essential aims of the penitentiary system, which is to rehabilitate offenders and facilitate their reintegration into society. Mr. Mendez urges states to prohibit the imposition of solitary confinement as punishment, calls on states to abolish the use of solitary confinement for juveniles and persons with mental disabilities, and recommends that prolonged solitary confinement in excess of 15 days should be subject to absolute prohibition. The United States is an outlier in its widespread use of this practice. The world looks on as we consider reducing solitary confinement by closing facilities like TAMS. Illinois must uphold justice and earn the world's regard. We urge the government to respect inherent dignity and human worth by closing TAMS.
Thank you. Representative Senator Trotter.
Attorney on the end, you said that you've seen more mental health cases in the prisons over at TAMS or practices that have led to more severe health cases, which gives the argument that those individuals should be maybe transferred to Chester, which is a mental health facility for the criminally insane and for those, just make it simple, the Hector or Hannibal Lecters of the world. But they don't need to be over at TAMS.
Well, they certainly should be in a real mental health environment. Chester is, at the moment, probably not a viable option because it does have the folks found not guilty by reason of insanity and folks are still unfit. But there is a serious mental health facility at Dixon Correctional. And I believe that there are plans underway to beef that up so that it really will be the kind of haven it should be. And I should say also, Senator Trotter, that for the 186 men at TAMS, there are 7 mental health therapists. For the 1,765 men at Menard, there are 2. Please let us take the mental health therapists from TAMS and move them to these other prisons that legitimately and desperately need them.
Representative Neckerts.
Thank you.
Then Co-Chair Bellick, then we'll move on to the next panel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For Mr. Fadi, how many states have supermax prisons?
I believe the last count, which was in about 10 or 12 years ago, was that 44 states have either an entire freestanding supermax prison or a supermax unit within a larger prison. As I mentioned in my remarks, that number has decreased by at least a few in recent years as more and more states turn away from this.
You don't know how many of those states have actually phased out completely their supermax prisons?
Well, Mississippi has. Colorado is about to close a supermax unit. Virginia downgraded a supermax unit to supermax prison to maximum security. Michigan did the same, so there are Maryland also. Thank you.
Minnesota as well.
Yep. So there's a growing number of states that are turning away from this.
When did Mississippi close?
It finally closed in 2010, August 2010.
And can you give us any information on what's happened since they closed it?
Yes. What they first did was bring in a corrections consultant, Dr. Jim Austin, who studied the population and concluded that the vast majority of the prisoners in the supermax simply didn't need to be there. So those prisoners, about 80%, were transferred to general population, still within the same facility. Once they did that, violence decreased by about 70%, even though the total number of prisoners was the same. But the transfer of about 80% of them out of supermax into general population brought about this precipitous drop in violence. The remaining, I believe, about 150 prisoners that were determined to need continued segregation have been moved to segregation units at other prisons.
And what's the experience with the result of those moves?
I know that the commissioner, Commissioner Epps, and Deputy Commissioner Sparkman are very pleased with it. Deputy Commissioner Sparkman recently wrote an article, which I believe you have in your materials, saying that this was the right thing to do, and they have, in addition to the financial savings, experienced absolutely no adverse effects on either prison or public safety.
And would you say in those other states that that's been primarily budget-driven or policy-driven?
You know, every state is different, but I believe that the budgetary considerations were always very significant. I think there were, in some states, certainly also policy concerns about adverse effects of this kind of treatment, again, particularly on the mentally ill. But I think this tremendous savings that can be realized by closing these facilities has always been a major consideration.
Thank you.
Representative Bellick.
Thank you very much. And I'm not stating a position at this time, pro or against TAMS. I just wanted to ask Deborah Ehrenberg, from your statements, what is the percentage of murders at TAMS?
I don't have that information.
What do you think is the fair treatment of those type of prisoners?
I think that the fair treatment of any prisoner in
I'm specifically speaking of murders. What is the fair treatment of those type of prisoners?
You know, I cannot speak specifically to a sentencing. However, I believe that every human being, including someone convicted of murder, has certain basic human rights that we recognize in this country as a matter of law, as well as in the international community as a matter of law. And that does not include prolonged solitary isolation.
I guess, you know, I would just have to question part of your statement as to, you know, what the victims of those families would have as to what the fair treatment is of those type of prisoners. And I'm not saying I'm a pro-advocacy for mental health and issues, but I think both sides need to be looked at when you're looking at the treatment of those type of prisoners and the effect on other prisoners within the prisons that they're at.
There has been testimony that the safety of other prisoners can be protected with other policies regardless, without having to include prolonged solitary isolation and other impingements on people's human rights.
Thank you.
Murder is in all the maximum security prisons. They're not just in TAMS.
No, I know that.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're going to move on to the next panel. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next panel will consist of representatives of employee organizations, unions, and associations. We have a very robust panel. Henry Baird, Jason Woolard, William Thurston, Toby Oliver, Gerald Raines, Dale Ridgway, Michael Stout, John Lance, and Brian Cooter. On behalf of AFSCME, the laborers, the AFL, the FOP. We're going to try and pick up the pace a bit. So when you're all settled in, when you're ready, please proceed.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Henry Baer. I am the Executive Director of AFSCME Council 31, and we represent the overwhelming majority of the employees who work at the TAMS Correctional Center. It's clear from the previous testimony here this afternoon that the proposal being made by the Department of Corrections is budget-driven. It's because of the state's enormous fiscal problems that the department has recommended the closure of the TAMS Correctional Center. The state is claiming that it would save $26 million if TAMS were to close. I would submit to you that $26 million is too high a price to pay for the closure of TAMS, which plays such a vital role in our entire correctional system. Somehow, the General Assembly, just 3 months ago, found that it could give up $300 million, which it gave to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and to Sears and to other corporations who didn't need that money. This community needs these jobs, and the Department of Corrections needs this facility. And that's why we are here today in strong support of keeping it open. The General Assembly doesn't have to take the House's number. The Senate can change that number. The General Assembly can ask, as you ask our members who work at TAMS to defer a pay increase because of the state's problems, they can ask CME and Sears to defer their tax cuts. So that $300 million would not only keep TAMS open, but each of the 14 facilities that the governor is trying to close. Now, we heard a lot of testimony from people who want to hear TAMS close, and I think they gave a very unfair picture of what TAMS is actually like. In fact, it was suggested that, well, they could close TAMS and people who need mental health care could go to Dixon. Well, one of the inmates here at TAMS is someone who had been convicted of raping six girls. He was in Dixon, and he raped one of our members at Dixon. What are you going to say to our member at Dixon? We're going to send this rapist back there. The same man who raped you, we're going to send back there. No, that's why we need TAMS. The people, the inmates at TAMS are not people who committed, are not here because they committed crimes on the outside. They committed crimes on the inside. In terms of the care, I want to wrap it up, but I think it's important to dispel some of the notions that were put forth here. The John Howard Association, which is an advocate for inmates, they study the Illinois prisons. In 2010, their report on TAMS, and I'm quoting from the John Howard Association, of the 15 Illinois prisons inspected by the John Howard Association this year, TAMS is the only one with a nearly complete roster of security, medical, and mental health staff. Then, they go on, DOC spent more than $1 million annually on special treatment units. JHA, the Howard Association, says, quote, I'm quoting, staff seem very knowledgeable about the medical and mental health conditions of inmates. Inmates in the mental health unit said they were satisfied with their treatment. That's not me, that's the John Howard Association saying that. You may also recall in 2009 there were a number of reforms that were insisted upon by the people who were concerned about the inmates.
We need you to wrap up
the inmate, I will wrap it up about the inmates at TAMS. Those reforms were implemented. No court has said TAMS should be shut down. No court had said that this violated anyone's rights, and it doesn't violate anyone's rights. And if you close TAMS, we are going to go back to 1993, and we can't afford to do that in the correctional system.
Thank you
very much.
My name is Toby Oliver. I'm the local union president at TAMS Correctional Center, Local 2758. TAMS Correctional Center is one of the newest modern prisons built for the Department of Corrections at a cost of $73 million. TAMS is 15 years old with no capital development projects on the agenda. TAMS was recently accredited by the American Correctional Association in 2010. The mission of TAMS is to improve the quality of life, safety, and day-to-day operations of other IDOC facilities and to house the most disruptive, violent, and problematic offenders. Since TAMS opened, assaults on staff have been decreased by 43.7%, and the number of inmate-on-inmate assaults have decreased by 39.4%. Inmate homicides prior to TAMS opening was 34. Since TAMS opened, it's 10. The cost per capita is higher than any other facility and has been known for years, but this type of prison has been a tool that managers have been willing to accept because of the safety it provides other inmates, staff, and the communities. The 2010 annual report cites a per capita cost of $61,522 for an average of 412 inmates at TAMS. If you take the budget for 2010 and divide that by the maximum capacity of 700 inmates, you get a per capita cost of $36,000 per inmate. This is the same as Pontiac. So to use TAMS to its capacity would be more effective. The square feet per inmate is the highest in the state at 114 square feet, which is more than double any other institution in the state. In addition, all of these cells are climate-controlled year-round. One inmate placed at TAMS cost the state $13 million in settlements. Inmates placed at TAMS have been involved in violent staff assaults and inmates on staff and inmates, either through committing the assault or ordering the assault to be carried out by lower-ranking gang members. I have been a witness and a victim of this type of activity. In 1995, I was stabbed four times by an inmate at Stateville, and he was ordered to do it by a gang leader that is still at TAMS. The department states they are confident they can house these inmates. We want guarantees. We want guarantees that our gangs won't take over our prisons. We want guarantees that our staff will not be killed because of this action, and guarantees that the citizens of Illinois will be protected from these type of inmates. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jason Willard. I'm the president of the Southern Illinois Central Labor Council, encompassing counties from Fayette County South, Cairo, and Metropolis. Our organization strongly supports keeping the TAMS Correctional Facility open. That decision would help provide continued financial security for the employees there and the people and the businesses in the Southern Illinois region that benefit from the facility operations. The TAMS Correctional Center has helped contribute to the financial stability of this region and will continue to do so when left open. Without it, this region will experience a dramatic ripple effect from the loss of income of the hundreds of correctional facility employees. Businesses in the region, such as grocery stores, restaurants, and many, many more, will feel the loss and will likely put hardworking people and their dependents at risk of losing their livelihoods. With the potential job losses of this magnitude, it would be next to impossible to replace them in the immediate future. As many of you already know, this region is located in the northernmost part of what's called the Delta region, which follows the Mississippi River from here to New Orleans. Unfortunately, the Delta Regional Authority, along with other government entities, have identified and included this specific part of the state as one of the most impoverished regions in the United States of America, making the citizens of this region some of the hardest hit folks in our country. Why add to those statistics by recommending additional negative impacts to a region who struggles daily? If Southern Illinois were to lose the TAMS facility to a quick fix decision, we will have to pay a hefty price and feel its impact. We want to encourage those making these decisions to consider every possible long-term resolution to the problems in this state and evaluate the regional impacts of those decisions before making them. When the TAMS Correctional Center was developed and constructed, it was seen as a well-thought-out solution to a rising prison population, and that doesn't appear to be diminishing today. With prisons becoming more overcrowded and staffed at higher prisoner-to-officer ratios, We once again need the necessary elected leaders of our state to make the tough choices and look for long-lasting resolutions that can help sustain the lives of many families in Southern Illinois region and our state as a whole. As a voice for workers from throughout Southern Illinois, we ask that you please evaluate all the information provided to you to help better inform those making the decisions as to why it's imperative to leave the TAMS Correctional Facility fully staffed and open. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Committee chairmen and committee members, my name is Gerald Raines. I'm acting president of FOP, Illinois Department of Corrections, Lodge 263. I am here to support and agree with these gentlemen on the board, on this panel. Everything they have submitted is true. They are on behalf also of all the other correctional officers and employees throughout the state. This facility does need to stay open. It was built for one reason and one reason only, to house the inmates that the other facilities could not control. Since it's been open, as they said, as the statistics have been presented here, it has helped throughout the state. Everything has gone down. If we close this facility, everything will be changed. It will not be beneficial to the state of Illinois, its citizens, and these employees here and all over the state to close it. We the FOP, Department of Corrections, submit that you should keep this facility open. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, Senator, I'd like to thank you for remembering to pledge our flag. I know that was a tough hit at one of the other hearings we was at, but thank you for remembering, and I hope it never slips your mind again. My name is Bill Thurston. I'm president of the 12th Congressional District, COPE, representing working men and women from Madison County all the way down to the ground we're sitting on right now. Heard a lot of remarks today, a lot of input, a lot of numbers. Sometimes I wonder if it really is a number game. If it's just a financial item, listen to your economist and stuff. Sure, if you close TAMS down, you're going to move people here, move people there. That's not going to be a solution. It's not a long-term fix, because we all know sooner or later places are already overcrowded. That's why you're trying to close other facilities, because this doesn't work. Is the ultimate mission here or down the line, is it the governor's insight to shut everything down and privatize it? That's going to save a lot of money for the state, isn't it? Because these things will no longer be under the guidelines of the state of Illinois to be privatized. I don't know if anybody sitting in this room or at this panel has a family member in one of these institutions, but it's a hell of a concern. You know, I don't think I'd want anybody, one of my loved ones, to be in a residential or a group community that does not have some strict restrictions from the state of Illinois or from the federal government. So back to the thing with group facilities that has been rumored from a quote from the governor, is TAMS not a group facility? So what ground are we trying to gain here? You know, my job is, or my assignment as a representative of labor, is to be concerned about the men and women, the working families and their children of this whole district. And that overflows into the whole state. So I think we need to pay attention before we make any rash decisions, make sure that the long-term solution here is going to be a workable one that's going to work for a long term. It's taken 28 years to get into this condition. We're not going to fix it in 4 or 5. I think we need to step back, look at it long term, and don't make any rash decisions now. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, nice to see him. Why, you want it?
Thank you. My name is Mike Stout, and I'm the business manager of the Illinois State Employees Association, Labor Local 2002. We represent the shift commanders, superintendents, dietary and clinical service supervisors, and the chiefs of security at all correctional facilities in the state of Illinois. You have or will hear, continue to hear, countless reasons not to close TAMS, and our organization agrees with all of them. So I would like to take a little different viewpoint and express it to you today. Since I'm from Southern Illinois, like Senator Trotter, I'm from Cairo, this hits right at the heart. In 2009, Southern Illinois endured an ice storm that tore a lot of homes and lives apart. In 2011, the nation watched the Mississippi River flood Olive Branch and several other communities. Homes were destroyed. Lives were destroyed. Both came from Mother Nature. Just a month ago, Mother Nature unleashed a deadly tornado on Southern Illinois, just north of here. My daughter was missed 2 or 3 miles from being hit by that tornado, causing homes to be destroyed, people killed and injured. But I'm confident the good people of Illinois will find a way to put their lives back together. That's what they're made of. Let's face it, Mother Nature has not been kind to Southern Illinois these last 3 or 4 years. But there's nothing you can do to stop a storm, tornado, or flood like they had here a few years ago. Southern Illinois has been hit hard in these tough economic times. The proposal to close TAMS and lose 300 more jobs will be just devastating to Southern Illinois. Mother Nature has nothing to do with the possible closing of TAMS. This is a man-made disaster waiting to happen. On behalf of our members, our families, and all of Southern Illinois, we ask the Coffer Commission to vote to reject this proposal. We need to add jobs, not cut jobs. Thank you.
Senators, representatives, my name is John Branch. I'm a shift supervisor at TAMS Correctional Center. I've been at TAMS for the last 10 years. I started my career in 1987 as a correctional officer in Will County. I've put people in the ground. TAMS Correctional Center was built to keep that from happening again. Fellow people that I work with are no longer here. They can go down and visit their family. I can't see my friend again. It's my job to keep these people behind me safe and you people safe, keeping these people off the streets. It's what TAMS was built for. It's right. Other supermax prisons have been closed in other states. We've learned from that. We've been to other states. We saw what was being done, and we did it right. We continue to change today to continue to do it right. I don't know what else to tell you. TAMS is the right thing. I've been to other prisons. I've seen some really bad prisons. TAMS isn't one of those places. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next panel, panel number 6. Brian Nelson, Robert Felton, Daryl Cannon, Johnny Walton, Rose Cifuentes, Lori Davis Hood, Janice Burnham, and Brenda Smith. Whenever you're settled in and you're ready, please proceed. I want to remind the witnesses that if you have written testimony, you can submit it to the commission. If you could summarize it in your remarks, we'd appreciate it. Thank you. Please proceed.
I am Rose Cifuentes.
Could you pull that closer to you? Thank you.
I am Rose Cifuentes. I have a son who's been incarcerated at TAMS for the past 7 years. TAMS is referred to the worst of the worst inmates housed here. The truth, it should be called worst of the worst conditions. Solitary confinement for 23 hours, a window, which they have no sun, showers once a week. And then another thing that I'm not even going to follow this is when I visit my son, I've seen the deterioration in his health. And I see how he tries to make me think that everything is okay in there, and I know it is not. They are not even allowed to go to the washroom during a visit, because if they do, the visit will be terminated. I will say one thing, and the most important thing to me that I think is important is I tell him, be strong, stay focused, think of the good memories when you were growing up at home, exercise your body and your mind, read, and most importantly, have faith, do not lose hope, because I know that I will do the same so that I can wait for you. I hope that you close TAMS, because this state must treat the prison population as valid human beings. We have to honor their humanity while they are incarcerated and create conditions under which they can function into a healthy manner so that when they reenter society, they can be productive citizens.
My name is Daryl Fanning. I did 24 years in prison. My last 9 years of those 24 was did in TAMS Supermax. TAMS has no redeeming value whatsoever. TAMS was not created to help the system. TAMS was just created to house people. Please don't be so naive to think that less than 200 men can make the difference in security. Stateville, Pontiac, and Menard put together. I've been in all of those prisons. I know the difference between how the system was and how the system is now. Please know that TAMS did not change the conditions in any of those prisons. The IDOC took a different policy. The IDOC decided to limit how many people would be out at any given time. That reduced some of the violence that exists there, not changed. TAMS had nothing to do with that. That system had started long before TAMS was there. TAMS was created because Edgar wanted to be able to have to be a governor to say that, hey, look, I got a supermax prison too. The state of Illinois had another supermax prison before TAMS. Merriam at one point was supermax, but they decertified it and took it back to a medium security institution. Because of the fact that
we're going to give every witness the common courtesy of making their remarks without interruption. If you can't do that, we invite you to leave the auditorium. Please proceed.
Well, please know that that's a prime example there of things that you don't know, which is some of those people in TAMS were provoked into doing what they did in terms of staff. Staff assaults consist of if an officer pushes someone and an inmate pushes him back, that constitutes assault. And he's sent to TAMS. You know, if you look at the record of those that's landing TAMS, they are not the worst of the worst by any means. You know, that's a lot of nonsense, and you need to erase that notion that everybody that was in TAMS is, in fact, the worst of the worst. It's a lie. It is a lie. You know, please note, too, that, sir, for you, just in case you think that all correction officials are angels, there are those in corrections who devise ways to get vacation time by provoking an inmate to attack him so that, in turn, he can get 5 to 10 days off. These are little things that you don't know about. Yes, there are some good correctional officials there. I would be the first to say that I've ran across some correctional officers that I really liked. I really liked because they was human beings. But please know, too, that there are some devils there that have did despicable things.
Please bring
you know, so
close.
Don't be naive to think that everyone in TAM is, in fact, should be there, because they should.
Thank you.
Hello. I'm Laura Davis Hood. 5 of my husband's 8 years in TAMS were with the mentally ill, who cut themselves, smear blood and feces all over, and act out in other ways. My husband wasn't violent, but years in such surroundings drove him crazy, and he began to mimic many of those behaviors. My husband had heard TAMS had the best mental health in IDOC and wanted to be sent there. But in spite of his desire for healing, there was no real help for issues that stem from the negligence, isolation, and abuse of his prior years in IDOC. Consequently, there was an even more rapid decline in his mental health once he arrived at TAMS. Health records show 43 days of him lying naked on a bed of toilet paper, which he pushed up against the door for privacy. He refused to eat or speak to anyone. He was trying to starve himself. He could no longer live with the dehumanization or who he had become in IDOC. It took a court order to force feed him. Yet Tams labeled his actions as malingering for attention. With the label of malingerer, he wouldn't get treatment. Labeling them as malingerers is part of the culture there. If they have a noose, they are punished, even beaten. If they smear feces, they are damaging property. Inmates are already seen as less than human. Add the stigma toward mental illness and the treatment becomes more dehumanizing. Quote, guards steal our magazines and personal belongings and do dirty crap to our food, spit and blow snot in it, for example. During a shakedown, guards tore up his pictures of his sister and her children who had been killed in a fire. This present institutional culture allows violence and dehumanization and lacks accountability for its actions. The excessive use of segregation and isolation as punishment has turned a mental health problem into behaviors that I have never imagined were possible. Finally, my husband has said from the beginning that TAMS has nothing to do with the reduction in violence. He wrote, TAMS was used as a red herring to cover up IDOC's complicity in the illicit and out-of-control behaviors in the Illinois prisons before the 1996 reforms. TAMS was not the real reason violence declined. It was prison personnel being forced by media exposure to start doing their jobs. The only power the prisoners had was the power IDOC and the personnel had carelessly given to them. Pontiac said, was and is a far greater deterrent than TAMS ever was, end quote. I believe that closing TAMS will begin the necessary holistic change in IDOC that eliminates punitive isolation and other practices that feed the mentality that inmates are less than human and deserve what they get, including the extreme of callous, inhumane treatment.
Thank you.
My name is Brenda Townsend Smith. I have a son in TAM. My son has been in TAM for 12 years. And when my son writes me letters, he says, Mom, I don't want to die here. He says, and TAM has taken a toll on my son. And he tries hard when I visit him to keep up appearances, but he's not the same. And in my last visit, I noticed that he, when I was there for like 3 hours, it was just difficult for him to sit there for 3 hours and talk to me. He was chained to a stoop, and the handcuffs were so tight around his wrist. And these are not your average handcuffs. They're shackled and chained to a stoop. That I know that he was being tortured just sitting there talking to me, but he was just so happy to have a visitor. And I heard that a prisoner in TAMS had cut off a testicle. And TAMS said that he was trying to get his way. It is a cry for help. My son has cut himself also. I was horrified by the fact that this was going on. These men are forced to sit in a gray box for 23 hours a day. Concrete bed. My son has not had a TV since he's been in TAMS. Visitation is so strict. It's like you have to fill out a form. They ask you all these questions. They deny you or say it's okay for you to visit. Most times you're denied. And if you're late by a few minutes, you have to leave. And you drive 6 hours to get there. My daughter doesn't want to visit him anymore. She can't handle seeing him in that type of situation. My son was sent to TAMS for filing hundreds of grievances against the Department of Corrections for injustice. And they say that TAMS is for the worst of the worst. It's not. That is not the truth. That is not the truth, as the previous speaker stated. My son was locked up at the age of 19. He's now 35. And I feel like everybody deserves a second chance. He was a child. He doesn't deserve to be put into a place like TAMS. It's nothing but a tomb. It's a tomb. And I know I have a short time, but all I want to say is that I feel like it's a slow death. And that's it. Close TAMS. Please close TAMS.
Thank you.
Good
Good afternoon. I'm Janice Burnham. We hear the constant refrain that TAMS is for the worst of the worst, when in actuality, an inmate doesn't have to have a physical or even a verbal altercation with anyone, not another inmate or even IDOC staff, to find himself buried in the tombs of the IDOC, which we know as TAMS. My brother never received a disciplinary ticket the whole time he was incarcerated before he was transferred to TAMS. And when he was there, before he was transferred to TAMS, and when he was there for weeks before he was told why he had been transferred there. Then he was given something in writing informing him that he would only be there a year, which is what most inmates at TAMS had been told, only to realize that they would be there indefinitely. In the 18 months that he's been at TAMS, he's lost 40 pounds. And although he tries to reassure my family that he is okay, his predicament torments my mother and frustrates the rest of the family. We believe his weight loss is the result of sleep deprivation caused by guards who come through the pods in the middle of the night with nightsticks banging on the cells all night long. We already know the effects of total isolation. We already know the effects of total isolation and space deprivation. Now they have added sleep deprivation. So in addition to the constant shades of gray, these are shamefully shades of Abu Ghraib. Mahatma Gandhi says something like, "The greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its powerless are treated. The more voiceless a man is, the more he deserves protection by man from the cruelty of man." Our position is that the ideology of TAMS from its inception, even with the stipulation that inmates should not be held there for more than a year, is a glaring example of man's inhumanity to man. Our great state has taken a hit on the world stage. We are known as a corrupt, immoral state. The closure of TAMS allows our state to take a step in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Brian Nelson. March 27, 1998, I was in a minimum security prison. I was a trustee. I made officers' uniforms, walked out to their car, put it in their car, came back and gave them their car keys. Next day, I was in TAMS. One of the biggest farces I've seen from both sides today, blaming the officers and saying the officers can't control the prison system if you close TAMS. Some of these guys in this room are the most professional people I've met in my life. And if you support them, you can close TAMS and they can run the prison system just like it is right now, because they're not going to tolerate it and they're not going to let their coworkers get hurt. As long as you support them, it's easy to come here and say, oh, let's close TAMS and let everybody out. I've been out of TAMS for 20 months. I work jobs. I bust my butt. Some of these guys saw me go from what they call the hardcore prisoner. I crumbled in TAMS in that box because I can't understand what being alone like that does. But I don't want to see no officer get hurt. I don't want to see them lose their jobs. But to say that they can't control the prison system, that's belittling every one of them in this room and every officer that's ever lost their life. They can run the prison system if you support them. If you sit there just like you're doing right now, you put the input and you let them do their job. Because they protected my life while I was in there. They can protect their lives. Don't belittle them saying that they can't run the system if you close TAMS, because they can. I mean, some of these guys are the strongest people I've ever met. They're taking care of their family and they work a very hard job. Don't belittle them. Your brother. Don't belittle your brother. I mean, you got constituents. That's what it's about. You can close TAMS because it's about money. I was worse than the worst. Most of them times, the doors open in TAMS, and I'm on the gallery with them. I didn't hurt them. I didn't assault them. Why? Why would I assault them? I did something stupid as a kid, went to jail. I had a penalty to pay. Now I'm out here paying taxes. I'm voting. I'm doing the right thing. Doesn't mean I'm going to hurt anybody. I'm walking around here, and how you doing? It's great to see you. It's great to be seen free. They can do it. You don't need that terrible box. I mean, I never was on a psychiatric caseload. I never attempted suicide until after years in TAMS. I weighed 120 pounds at one point in TAMS because I gave up on life. It's a hard thing. I screwed up. I went to prison. It's my fault. I got myself locked up. But for that to happen, I didn't deserve that, but they deserve the support because they have a rough job. They can run the prison system if you close TAMS.
Thank you.
Can I say one more thing, please? Can I ad lib? I just wanted to say
at $90,000 per inmate, TAMS should not be the basis for jobs for Southern Illinois.
Thank you. That's fine. That's fine. Perfectly fine.
The next panel will consist of panel number 7, Larry Mizell, George Wellborn, Rick Bard, and Joseph Ponte. If you could come forward, please. The panel after that will consist of Rex Wilburn, Amy Cox, Clint Green, and Chris Boyd.
Clean up pretty good.
I want to remind you, if you have written test, I want to remind the witnesses, if you have written testimony, if you could, you could summarize it in your remarks and submit it. By the way, all the written testimony is posted on the commission's website, and if you happen to know somebody who did not have the opportunity to participate in today's hearing, they can submit their testimony to be included for all of us on the commission to review and for the public to review as well during the public comment period. Please proceed.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Mizell, the executive director, ex-executive director of the Illinois Department of Corrections. It is an honor to appear before you today, and I sincerely respect the time that you've allotted for everyone. As knowing, spent 29 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections as an employee, and I appreciate that time is a very precious thing. I was involved in the concept, philosophy, planning, design, and location of the Illinois Department of Corrections Supermax Prison. I know why it was needed, why it was built, and why it was located in TAMS, Illinois. It is serving its purpose. There are individuals in the Illinois prison system today that are not safely manageable in traditional prisons. TAMS Supermax has made it safer in our prison system for other inmates and security staff, and actually all employees. It is not a place where inmates want to be transferred. Why? Because they are better controlled and managed. As Assistant Deputy Director, I was there when discussions were being held as to what we as Correctional Department could do to reduce the violence and possible destruction within our correctional facilities. The planning for the physical structure and operating policies and procedures were lengthy and well thought out. The emphasis was always on what we can do to make the overall system safer, more efficient, and possibly affect each and every correctional center in the state of Illinois. As Chief Deputy Director, I sat on the selection committee that made the recommendation to select TAMS as the location to build the Supermax prison. That selection was made on a lengthy list of criteria. Correctional centers today are more safely managed, and other inmates in the system are safer because of the TAMS Supermax. Prevention is a difficult thing to measure and evaluate, but I think we can all agree that prevention is safer, better, and less costly than cure. The 1978 riot at Pontiac Correctional Center is a tragic memory where staff lives were lost, inmates were abused and injured by other inmates, and there were several millions of dollars damages done to the facility. Our prisons are overcrowded. I don't care how many inmates some say can be placed inside a building. Overcrowding is a dangerous and somewhat predictable time bomb. TAMS has and is sending a very clear message to all inmates to be somewhat responsible and to make reasonable choices, as unacceptable behavior of violence and destruction can generate a ticket to TAMS. It serves a very necessary, significant, and management option for the correction administrators today. Once they use their time needed, they have the option. I can speak from experience. The staff of the Illinois Department of TAMS Supermax are professionals who work each day in a high-risk, often very difficult situation. They have been and will continue to be faced with assaults, urine, feces thrown on them, and their faces and injuries sometimes due to the violence of those they supervise. It is not an easy job. There is no way to protect them totally from the violent minds of those incarcerated there. The correctional staff does an outstanding good job even under these circumstances. It is truly unfortunate today that we are not here talking about the possibility of holding a hearing to commend those correctional officers and other employees in the department for doing a quality job that they do. Thank you, employees of TAM Correctional Center.
Let's not fix what isn't broken. Let's learn from the history of where we have been and where we need to be going, not backwards but forwards. We have not overcome the need for TAMS Supermax Correctional Center. Repeating the circumstances which we progress from is a circle of waste and poor judgment. Thank you.
Thank you.
First of all, see, when the red light goes off, does it send shocks out or anything? First of all, Senator, thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify before your committee, and thanks for coming down to Alexander County to give us an opportunity to tell you our concerns about closing TAMS. I was the chief of operations for the department, which means I was the chief over the whole prison division from 2006 till 2010. I was there when Director Randall came in from Ohio, was given a mandate to look at TAMS, to evaluate TAMS. I spent 2 days walking through TAMS with Director Randall. He talked to every inmate. I talked to every inmate. I've done that several times. He talked to all the staff. And Director Randall came from Ohio. In my mind, you know, Director Randall, if I looked at myself, I would say I'm a moderate as far as if you would put me on a scale of running a prison system. I'd say Director Randall would be more even for an open system. And even Director Randall, after going through TAMS, even after that, he came to the conclusion that TAMS needs to stay open. TAMS needs to stay open, and he said some inmates should never leave TAMS. And what he's talking about is the inmates who are in segregation status at TAMS, who probably, as the director said earlier, if they do close TAMS, he's going to have to build some security enhancements at whatever prison they're going to move them to hold these particular inmates. We're talking about inmates serving 200 and 300 years in segregation time. We're talking about inmates doing internment seg time. We're talking about inmates who have killed other inmates. We're talking about inmates who have stabbed other inmates. We're talking about inmates who have stabbed staff. We're talking about inmates who have held staff hostage. One held staff hostage at Dixon for 36 consecutive hours and assaulted her. We're talking about inmate that assaulted staff at Vianna Correctional Center in the basement of a housing unit of a minimum security facility, left her for dead, stuffed her in a duct, and left her for dead. Thank God we found her, and she was able, I believe she even went back to work. So I think we've had an evaluation at TAMS. I want to add some other stats because I know there's been a lot of questions. Drug drops from 2000 till when I left in 2010. In 2000, drug drops, their dirty drug drops was 10.9% of the sample taken. And it was a much smaller sample than the drug drops taken in 2009. The inmates that dropped dirty were 0.4%. Gang tickets, 1998, gang tickets to 2010, down 73%. Weapons found in facilities since the opening of TAMS till 2010, down 93%. And these type of weapons that we found when I was working at the department, we're talking about little pieces of metal melted into ink pens. Back then, it was almost samurai swords. And we're talking about shanks that long that were found on a daily basis in all the, especially the maximum security facility. I would also talk about the Miris-Castro survey that surveyed 601 wardens. And that survey found that all 601 wardens across the state, according to Miris-Castro, said that a supermax in their state, allowed them the ability to manage their facilities, to deal with inmates, and put all the violent ones segregated into one supermax facility that allowed the other inmates to receive programming, rehabilitative opportunities, to when they do get released on the street, that maybe they can change their life around, become a productive member of society.
Thank you. Thank you.
I oppose closing TAMS.
Thank you.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Joe Fawn. I'm the commissioner of the Maine Department of Corrections. About 42 years of correctional experience. I worked in states of Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Idaho Department of Corrections over that 42 years. Really, I don't have an opinion on what Illinois should do or what we should do with TAMS. I did, when I arrived at the Maine Department of Corrections, there was a legislative resolve that was passed just prior to me getting there and issued in a report in February of that year, and I started late February of 2011. In that report, it was critical of our long-term segregation practice and our mental health treatment of offenders in segregation. So I had to go back and look at things that I pretty much learned and practiced in 42 years of doing business one way, as we're talking about here today, to do business quite differently on, yes, we need segregation, yes, there are inmates that need that type of confinement, but what we found in Maine, we didn't need to have that many. We reduced by about 60% those inmates needing long-term segregation. We now, in our treatment of mental health inmates, we move those inmates out of segregation into a separate facility that's run by clinical staff, even though it's monitored by correctional officers. And the clinician and the correctional officers are a treatment team that formulate the care for the inmate now, rather than just the typical correctional system where it's run by discipline and disciplinary reports. So if we look at all the measures that we look at, how we operate, from violence to staff assaults to inmate assaults, use of force, use of restraint chairs, use of chemicals, all those kinds of things that you typically look at in segregations, all those things are reduced. Inmates cutting up, all have been reduced as a result of these changes. So where I wasn't an advocate of those kinds of things, it truly made me a believer that it was a different way of doing business and a more effective way.
Thank you.
My name is George Wellborn. I retired in 2002 after 27 years with the Department of Corrections, and I proudly served as the first warden of the TAMS Correctional Center. There were a variety of reasons for building TAMS, but at the root of it was violence. Violence had become epidemic in our department through the 80s and mid-90s, and the department simply did not have the resources to handle a very small portion of inmates who caused a vast amount of problems. We were literally having gang leaders passing on I-55, going from Pontiac to Stateville, Stateville to Pontiac. It simply wasn't working. Staff were getting hurt. Inmates were getting hurt. It was not uncommon for prisons to go on lockdowns for 6 months at a time. Bottom line, TAMS is worth. Any objective standard, we'll look at the violence. The violence indicators post or pre and post TAM are stark. Now, as I understand the department's plan today, they're about to dump the most problematic and violent inmates the state has at Pontiac and Menard. Pontiac and Menard are good facilities. Staff work hard. They do a good job. The simple fact is that they were built shortly after the end of the Civil War. I don't understand what the director sees. If Pontiac and Menard could not handle these inmates 12 years ago, why does he think they could handle them today? It defies logic. We've heard the commissioner from Maine, where they talked about Mississippi, they talked about Minnesota. We're talking apples and oranges here between those systems. You don't see California shutting down Pelican Bay. You don't see the Federal Bureau of Prisons talking about shutting down the Supermax at Florence, Colorado. TAMS is a legal, constitutional facility. It's been accredited by the American Correctional Association. I read a letter to the editor today by a nationally known corrections expert, Alan Mills, of the Uptown People's Law Center. And in this letter to the editor, he basically said, gangs, violence, and weapons are a thing of the past in the Illinois Department of Corrections. That's not true. He knows it's not true. Our state that we all love is not only broke, it's broken. Why would you take a facility that has done exactly what it was intended to do in a legal and constitutional manner? These advocacy groups today have been trying to shut down TAM through the courts for 12 years.
Please,
while they're going to shut it down,
please.
The governor's going to shut it down. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Questions? Thank you very much. Next panel, Rex Wilburn, Amy Cox, Clint Green, and Chris Boyd. The following panel is Michael Batinsky, Heather Rice, Elise Speck, Father Jerome Fortenberry, Warren Mitchell, Mark Miner, Cecily Harbison, and Dr. Tim Bellamy.
If you're ready, please proceed.
I'm Rex Wilburn here representing the southernmost Illinois Delta Empowerment Zone and also a Pulaski County Commissioner. In 1999, the federal government recognized this area to be very poor conditions. We were giving a empowerment zone declaration. Very few empowerment zones exist in the United States. Every effort that we have done, we've tried to bring businesses in, we've tried to help our community, the people here. All that is in jeopardy now. The entire time the empowerment zone was in place, we struggled to bring in 300 new jobs. We stand to lose 300 jobs at the drop of a hat. There's got to be a little more sense to this than just it looks better on paper. You've got the newest facility that you have in the state. Why wasn't this addressed before you spent the taxpayers' dollars to build this facility? 300 jobs in an area that is sparsely populated like we are is like losing 3,000 jobs in a suburb of Chicago. You cannot imagine the impact that this will have. We are already seeing some impact from local businesses, car dealers, the banks. People are not wanting to spend money. They're not wanting to borrow money because they're not sure if they are going to have a job. I mean, this has started. You can draw a timeline. It started as soon as they announced the proposal of closing the TAMS facility. And I just beg and plead to you all, please look at every aspect. Do not close the TAMS prison. If there's something else that needs to be addressed, some kind of management issue, look at that. But don't close the facility. It's not the answer.
Thank you.
Of course, the first thing that this commission should consider in shutting down the TAMS facility is the effect on the overall health and safety of the people of Illinois. As a member of the economic development community, it is my role to testify to the effect of the overall economy of Alexander County and the surrounding communities. Our organization works on a variety of economic and community development programs in this region. From 1999 to 2011, CIDES was a federally designated empowerment zone, providing millions of dollars a year in federal stimulus and tax credit benefits to this area. It was so designated due to the pervasive and persistent poverty that exists here. In 1998, the TAMS Supermax prison brought hundreds of well-paying state jobs with benefits to a place where those types of jobs are very hard to find. TAMS employees raised families and generated local property and sales tax dollars and contributed to the spirit of this community. These jobs have helped to offset the large population losses experienced by Alexander and surrounding counties in the last decade. The empowerment zone expired at the end of 2011, no longer providing special federal incentives to businesses to locate here. If the TAMS facility closes, our unemployment and poverty rates, already among the highest in the state, will inevitably increase. Those who can leave will leave, further contributing to the exodus of skilled, educated workers. None of our local municipalities employ, nor can really afford to employ, economic development professionals to work on their behalf. Replacing these jobs by the private sector will take years or decades or longer. I urge you to reconsider the closing of the TAMS facility to keep our families together and to keep them safe. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Chris Boyd. I'm the Director of Member Services for Southern Illinois Electric Cooperative and the Executive Vice President of Southwater Incorporated. First of all, let me say that I've never spent time behind a prison cell, but that's a personal decision that I make every morning when I wake up. I would like to welcome the Commission to Pulaski County. I believe that this is the only county in the state of Illinois which we do not have a traffic light. This isn't Chicago, and everybody knows that. Southern Illinois Electric Cooperative is a distribution electric cooperative serving electricity to 8,900 members in the bottom five counties of Illinois. In 2011, the TAMS Correctional Center was our largest consumer. Total electric sales were over $519,000. SIEC is a not-for-profit corporation. Our goal is to provide reliable electricity to our members at the cheapest cost. At a time when unemployment rates are high, this area is economically depressed. The loss of the TAMS Correctional Center will result in higher electricity rates to the remaining members of the cooperative. As a result, the SIEC Board of Directors passed a resolution in support of keeping this facility open. I have the resolution to give to the Commission today. The effects of losing TAMS will be similar to the Southwater Regional Water System, which supplies potable water to 4,500 households in three counties. Let me say that I am embarrassed to be here today. I'm embarrassed as a citizen, I'm embarrassed as a taxpayer, but most of all, I'm embarrassed for the correction employees that are sitting behind me, that they've come to this link to fight for their job. In the early 1990s, the state of Illinois sent out a request for proposal to build a Supermax facility. We didn't call Springfield and say, hey, you guys want to build a prison? Bring it down here. But now, some years later, the same government is trying to close it. If a business operated that way, they'd be out of business. To summarize, the loss of the TAMS Correctional Center will result in higher unemployment, higher utility rates, and higher poverty in an area that has too much of it already. I'm just one man here with one voice, but I speak for many and the 8,900 members of Southern Illinois Electric Cooperative when I say that we do not want you to close this facility. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Mr. Chairperson. My name is Clint Green. I'm representing an executive director of the Pulaski County Development Association. Our organization exists for the sole purpose of advancing economic opportunity in Pulaski County. The closing of TAMS prison will be diametrically opposed to everything that we stand for. This county has a population of 6,161 people. To put that in some perspective, there are local towns around us who have more population in the town than our county has in the entire county. Over the last 10 years, we have lost 1,187 people. It's an average of 118 people per year, or 10 people per month in this county alone. Our unemployment rate stands at 12.3%, which is 3.2% higher than the state of Illinois, and it is 4.0% higher than the national average. Our people live in a poverty rate of 25.1%. Our children, 38.2% of our children in this county live in poverty. There are 32 individuals who work for TAMS prison who reside in Pulaski County. That's 32 families who contribute to the county, who support the county, who support our county businesses, who do everything they can to make our county work. These are 32 individuals who, if their jobs are lost, may have to look elsewhere for employment. These are 32 individuals, 32 families that will no longer be part of Pulaski County. I cannot stress to you enough, nor can I overstate the economic impact that this will have on our county. I urge you, on behalf of every resident in Pulaski County, on behalf of all of us who are dedicated to this region of the state, one of the poorest regions, one of the most economically disadvantaged regions in the country, to reconsider what you are doing, to reconsider what the governor has asked you to do, to support us, to help us to find a way to maintain our way of life, to maintain our jobs, to support the individuals who support our county. And before I go, I'd like to personally acknowledge and thank Senator Forbee and Representative Phelps for all the support that you have given to Pulaski County over the last many, many years and the support that you continue to give. We thank you very much, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today.
Thank you. Thank you. If there are no questions for members of the business panel, you can be excused. And the next panel, Michael Patinsky, Heather Rice, Elise Speck, Father Jerome Fortenberry, Warren Mitchell, Mark Miner, Cecily Harbison, and Dr. Tim Bellamy, can come forward.
Yeah, our names were called, but we're a little early. We're on this panel.
Okay. Whenever you're ready, please proceed.
My name is Michael Baczynski. I'm speaking on behalf of the Southern Illinois Quakers. I speak on behalf of the Southern Illinois Quakers, and after considerable discussion, I've been asked to represent our collective thoughts. The Southern Illinois Quakers recognize the treatment of prisoners at TAMS Correctional Center as detrimental to human dignity. Starting in 2009, the Belleville News Democrat documented policies of near constant solitary confinement without effective mechanisms for mental health treatment, or eventual release to the general prison population. This deeply offends our conscience, and by some definitions, it qualifies as torture. We also recognize that many families in our region are dependent for their well-being on employment at the prison, and that there are few other employment opportunities in the area. We come together in the belief that the rights of prisoners to humane treatment and the right of prison employees to the means for earning a decent living need not be viewed as antagonizing alternatives. We thus believe that the current policy of isolation that leads to mental suffering should cease, and that the prison, with its current staff, should continue to work toward devising a humane program that may lead to rehabilitation and restoration. The Mississippi State Penitentiary Unit 32, Supermax, has revolutionized its program, and so can TAMS. We feel that TAMS is a current example of the larger need for prison reform. We strongly feel that the decisions to close TAMS should not be dictated by budgetary problems, but rather be motivated by the value of human dignity and issues concerning quality of life for both the prisoners and employees. However, unless TAMS is dramatically reformed, the Southern Illinois Quakers support Governor Quinn's proposal to close the prison, redirecting a portion of the savings toward creating jobs in the area.
Thank you.
I guess I'll go next. My name is Elsie Speck. I'm from Carbondale. And I believe that the prison system has changed sufficiently that drugs and gangs are no longer in charge. And besides, you know, we do have murderers in a lot of the other prisons, and therefore I think the people who are in TAMS are not the worst of the worst, the most violent. I wonder if any of our representatives have ever visited anyone at TAMS. I support the closing of TAMS not only because of its expense, but because of its draconian code of severity, stifling any interaction with other human beings. The total confinement, sometimes 24 hours a day if you're in segregation, is a serious violation of human rights, doing psychological damage to many of the inmates. There are some 41 who have been there since it opened. 41 inmates have been in this isolation for 10 and a half years. This is a tragedy and a human rights injustice rightfully levied against the state of Illinois. I support the state in its pursuit of its financial goal of saving $26 million by closing that prison, which houses prisoners there, as you know, to the tune of $64,000 per prisoner. I have her a little card that I received in the mail from Anthony at TAMS, one of the most violent, one of the worst, one of the bad guys. Dear Elsie, grace and peace. Dear Elsie, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May all the blessings of God's joyous victory fill your heart and your home this beautiful day. There are many more like that. I mean, some of them live like monks. All they do is pray all day. And they have been already, some of them have already been recycled to Pontiac. So don't act as if these guys will not be able to be in these other prisons. They're already being recycled. So what is the big problem? I regret that there will be a loss of jobs and revenue for the community, and I hope that all the legislatures concerned about this matter do all they can to bring good jobs to the dedicated and capable men and women at risk for losing their jobs. Amen.
Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Tim Bellamy. I'm Vice President of Instructional Services here at Shawnee Community College, and I would like to take this belated opportunity to welcome you to our campus and invite you to visit again under better circumstances. We'd love to have you. Clearly, as we all know, the state of Illinois is in a very difficult financial situation. Most of that situation was not caused by the employees at TAMS Correctional Center. As a lifelong resident, I understand the impact of job loss on a regional economy that is fragile during periods of economic prosperity in the state. The TAMS Correctional Center was built in part to provide an economic boost to the most economically disadvantaged regions of the state. According to data collected from the Illinois Department of Corrections, 213 of the 278 state employees at the TAMS Correctional Center are from the five-county region served by Shawnee Community College, the five southernmost counties in Illinois. Clearly, the loss of jobs will have an economic impact on our region and therefore our community college. Our goal as a college is to provide education and training and job so students can take advantage of job opportunities and stay in our region. As I mentioned earlier, I'm a lifelong resident of this region. I have friends and family who have worked for the Department of Corrections. I understand the dangerous nature of their job. We have heard many stories about the conditions at TAMS, but it's also important to remember that the people who are in TAMS and other prisons committed crimes, and they're victims of those crimes. And I urge you to remember the victims of those crimes in making your decision. The people who work at our correctional facilities, including TAMS, they're good people. They go to work every day. They contribute to the community. They're volunteers with Youth League, with other community organizations. They deserve to work in the very safest conditions possible. My fear is closing TAMS will create a more unsafe condition for these people to work and for the inmates that they are designed to also protect. With that said, I strongly urge you to reconsider the governor's request to close TAMS Correctional Center. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Cecily Harbison Cornell, and I'm here on behalf of my father, Cecil Harbison. He was brutally murdered back in 1984 by an inmate who made a 12-inch knife out of a bed rail. And they had an altercation because the man couldn't decide if he wanted to go to dinner or if he didn't want to go to dinner. So when my dad put him in a cell and turned around, the guy stabbed him 12 to 15 times in the back with the bed rail, which he fell and, you know, he died. Okay. I still remember that. I was 8 years old, you know, when my mom came up and she told me that your dad has been stabbed to death. And I said, well, is he dead? You know, and she said, yeah, you know. Well, like I said, I still remember that, you know, very vividly. And basically, my dad, you know, he gave his life to keep this community safe and these, you know, families safe and everything. And I'm just asking, you know, for you guys to keep it open, because if these types of prisons were open in 1984, my dad would not have lost his life. A lot of families haven't, would have not lost his life. Mother, father, mother, whoever. So I'm just asking for you guys to keep it open to, you know, protect our community and our families, and if nothing else, for the families. And I love my dad, and I'm finished.
My name is Warren Buddy Mitchell. I'm originally from Cairo, and I live in TAMS.
I served as the sheriff for 24 years and been in law enforcement about another 7 or 8 years after that, a little over 30 years. Also served as a warden in a local jail, of course. I had the opportunity to support the Supermax from the very beginning, and I'm here for the Supermax today. Obviously, to me, there are several problems that we're facing today. One of them that you're not going to be able to solve, or I'm going to be able to solve by closing the TAMS jail, is the budget. The Illinois state budget. It didn't happen overnight. Closing the jail overnight, this facility isn't going to solve that particular problem. It may be a start, but it's not going to solve the problem. I lived in Pontiac, Illinois for a little time, and during that period of time, I was 2 blocks from the prison. And it was in the time that they were in turmoil in the 70s. And I remember when we were locked in the house, call came out, don't leave, because of the violence that was going on there. My son has followed in my footsteps, law enforcement and also in corrections. And in Pontiac, he was assaulted. One of the most scariest days of my life when I got that phone call. He survived. He now works at the correction center in TAMS. And he has brought to me weekly, daily, the satisfaction of knowing that we have a place for these violent offenders to go that don't get the opportunity to assault other inmates and to assault the workers there. I'll end this. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. You have a lot of difficult decisions to make in the near future. But closing the TAMS prison, our correction center is properly now. When I was back in the way, it was prisons. Now it's correction centers. Isn't going to solve the problem. I ask that you keep it open. Thank you.
My name is Father Jerome Fortenberry. I was a Catholic chaplain at TAMS for 4.5 years. I'd like to correct some of the things that have been said. I talked to every prisoner there. I would go from cell to cell. Sometimes it would take me a month to get around to all of them and let them talk as long as they wanted to. They could talk to one another by shouting because there were 10 in a pod, and they did. They would talk to one another. They weren't absolutely segregated. They were safe. Nobody could attack them. I've gotten letters from prisoners who have been moved out of TAMS wishing that they could go back there because they'd be safe. And that's true. The guards at TAMS are absolutely safe. There is no way that they can be hurt. They mentioned people throwing feces or urine. That happened once or twice, but that's not life-threatening. So the guards have the safest job in the world. The prisoners never leave their cells unless they're shackled hand and foot, accompanied by 2 people. They can't attack anyone. So what do I think about it? I think it's a good thing. I think it provides opportunity for many people. I think if the state of Illinois is so desperate for funds, well, maybe they should close it. But I think there might be a different way of doing it. Amen.
Let me go. Okay. I'll go ahead. My name is Mark Miner, and I am running as a Republican candidate for state senate here in the 59th district. Which of course includes the TAMS Correctional Center. But beyond that, I'm also an approved IDOC volunteer with a badge at Big Muddy Correctional Center, where I've volunteered over thousands of hours over the past 15 or 16 years since the institution has been open. also receiving the honor of being the Volunteer of the Year back in 2005, I believe it was. Along with this, I'm an instructor for Rend Lake College, and I have taught classes inside Big Muddy to inmates desiring to continue their education while incarcerated.
Could you limit your remarks to TAMS, please?
Okay, I certainly could. I was just establishing the fact that I've been in prison.
I understand. Could you limit your remarks? Please proceed.
Okay.
Please proceed.
All right. My point is that I've been inside the prison quite often and inside prisons and am very involved in the Department of Corrections as a volunteer. I come today as an opponent to the proposed closing of TAMS. I'll offer three rationales. They've already been spoken of here at this time, but I'll just reiterate a couple of those. It seems to me from the discussions we've heard, certainly from my point of view, that closing the facility really doesn't render a great financial savings to the state. Of the 28 facilities run by the Illinois Department of Corrections, TAMS is the sixth least expensive of the 28, at a cost of around $25,347,000, and that was FY10. So 22 institutions in the whole are more expensive than TAMS. Now, it is correct that the per capita rate for incarceration is the highest, but as far as the savings to the state, it seems to me that 22 other institutions are more expensive. It's also been said many times that Alexander County in this area is the poorest region in the state. Highest unemployment rate is right here in Alexander County. As has been stated, real estate values would drop. So many other things, tax base would be lost, and the money that would be required by the state to provide social net services for the children here, I think would take away any savings that might be from closing TAMS. And it has already been said, the safety of the officers, I believe, is the third reason why we should not close TAMS.
Thank you.
I'll just add one last thing, if I could, really quickly. The ideological issue, I think, is also a great one here. There certainly are those who do not want, who do not believe in supermax prisons. The governor might be one of those, I'm not sure, but I would sit here today and say to you and everyone in this auditorium, we need to keep TAMS open. It does what
it's
supposed to do.
Thank
you very much.
Ms. Rice.
Good afternoon. My name is Heather Rice. I'm here on behalf of the National Religious Campaign Against Torture. We're a coalition of over 300 religious organizations and over 63,000 individual supporters, people of faith, representing most of the major faith groups in America and denominations, including Catholics, Evangelicals, Episcopalians, Methodists, Jews, Muslims, to name a few. The faith groups that belong to the National Religious Campaign Against Torture are in agreement that prolonged isolation is destructive to prisoners and violates their inherent God-given dignity. For people of faith across the country, ending prolonged solitary confinement has become a moral imperative. MEERKAT urges the commission to permanently close TAMS Correctional Center. The nearly 200 men who are currently housed at TAMS in solitary confinement for 23 hours today with little external stimulation have been there for years, and some, as you heard today, over a decade. Many studies have documented the detrimental psychological effects of long-term segregation. The symptoms include hallucinations, perceptual distortions, paranoia, and panic attacks. And from a faith perspective, these symptoms are not a surprise. We know from the very beginning, God said in Genesis 2:18 that the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." And in Proverbs 27:17, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." When we take away the right to have community engagement in some form, we are violating a basic human dignity. The excessive use of solitary confinement is a stain on our society and a moral and a fiscal price that we cannot afford to pay. Closing TAMS is a matter of conscience, and for these reasons, we hope the commission will find in favor and do likewise. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. The next panel consists of Michael McClellan, Randall Clark, Stan Patton, Dr. Marvin Powers, Chip Markle, and Robert Dubois. If you could come forward, please.
For the balance of the hearing, we're going to turn the gavel over to Senator Forby and Representative Phelps. On behalf of Representative Bellick and myself, we want to express our appreciation again to Shawnee Community College, to the Department of Corrections, TAMS, to all of you for your cooperation today. Thank you. Senator Phelps, Representative Forby. Representative Phelps and Senator Forby, thank you. Representative Phelps, Senator Forby in the chair. Michael McClellan, go right ahead.
Thank you, sir. My name is Mike McClellan. I'm a lieutenant. I work at the facility at TAMS Correctional Center. I've been there for 14 years. I wanted to provide you with some numbers that should have been provided by the department this morning but weren't. According to a recent quarterly report published on the Department of Corrections website in November last year, the Department of Corrections was at 94.8% operational capacity. Under the governor's plan, the number of empty beds within the department would be reduced by more than 70%. After the governor's closures and using the occupancy numbers from the November report, the department would be at 98.5% occupancy. With an annual growth rate of just over 1% per year for the last 10 years, the governor's plan to eliminate empty beds will cause the department to reach 100% of its operational capacity within the next 12 months. But without any facility closures, the department's operational capacity could sustain population growth for the next 4 to 5 years. Additionally, there are over 1,200 inmates currently assigned to the adult transition centers that the governor has slated to close. With only 700 beds available after the governor's closure plan is implemented, most, if not all, of these 1,200 inmates would have to be released. Additionally, our esteemed governor is setting the foundation for a future filled with mandatory early release programs from prisons, bursting at the seams. I wonder if the director at IDOC will again get blamed when violence pours out of our prisons and into our streets. The violence in any prison system can be directly correlated to overcrowding. Governor Quinn's proposal to close TAM is reprehensible and irresponsible. TAMS is the only prison in our system specifically designed to control the violence faced by correctional professionals across our state. Packing more inmates into an already extremely overcrowded system, in addition to removing the only deterrent to violence, directly reflects on Governor Quinn's inability to lead Illinois. I am confident in this esteemed panel's ability to accurately evaluate the facts. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fowler.
I don't need a mic for what I'm going to say. Set up.
Thanks.
Started in corrections at Pontiac Correctional Center in 1984. And from 1984 until TAMS was opened, it was nothing to have 5, 10, 12 stabbings a week on other inmate on inmate. The gangs run it. They had their gang colors hanging on the cells, everything. And I was stabbed in January of 1996. It went in one side of me, came out the other side. I've done semi surgery. I was in intensive care for about 9 days. I died twice on the table, but there is no way that Pontiac or Statesville or Menard can handle the prisoners that are at TAMS. It is impossible because they're to do one thing, to make a name for themselves. Because most of them that sit down here has got hundreds and hundreds of years to do. And they will never, ever see the light of day, no matter where they're at. And the guy that stabbed me, when he went to court, he stood up and told the judge, he said, yes, I stuck that pig. And he said, I'll do it again. If I ever see him or any of his people, again, I will kill him. And that's just the bottom line of how some inmates think. They do not think rationally about anything other than if they can get $100 or $50 to do something, they'll do it because they're never, ever getting out of prison. And there's never, ever going to be any other way of handling those people besides TAMS Correctional Center. If they close TAMS, they're going to go right back to the way it was before 98. And officers are going to get cut up, beat up, inmates are going to get stabbed and stabbed. And there's going to be, what are they saying, saving money? They can't because the hospitals was full of inmates and staff around these maximum security prisons because they had been hurt in the prison system. Once TAM come online, it went down. And there's no telling how many millions of dollars that TAMS has saved just in hospital bills and settlements and whatever else that goes along with the inmates being stabbed and hurt as long as staff. So I would challenge the governor to sit down with 15 or 20 older correctional people that worked inside the cell, not just somebody that toured it, but actually worked in there on a daily basis, to sit down with them and listen to what they had to say about how the prison systems were in the 80s and 90s and how it changed after it was done, TAMS were put online. And I think he would say, well, we need to keep it open. Because it is a deterrent. Thank you.
Thanks, Ian. Dr. Powers? Who wants to go? We're going to go through the order, Dr. Powers.
Yes. I'm Dr. Marvin Powers, medical doctor. I've been the first medical director that TAMS has ever had. I saw the first inmate escorted in. I hope I don't see the last one escorted out. Why have I been there for 14 years? Because I believe in what TAMS is doing. I speak from experience, not from innuendos and not from hearsay. This is coming straight from experience. I want to read to you the Illinois Department of Corrections mission statement. The mission of the Department of Corrections is to protect the public from criminal offenders through a system of incarceration and supervision which securely segregates offenders from society, assures offenders of their constitutional rights, and maintains programs to enhance the success of offenders' reentry into society. Now I want to follow that up with a paragraph of the TAMS Correctional Center mission statement. The TAMS Closed Maximum Security Facility, CMAX, has been designated and designed to house the Illinois Department of Corrections' most disruptive, most violent, most problematic inmates approved for placement at TAMS CMAX will have demonstrated an inability or an unwillingness to conform to the requirements of a general population facility. In addition, inmates who have manifested a negative influence on the safety and security of the Illinois Department of Corrections or may have perpetuated criminal activity that threatens the community may be transferred to the TAMS CMAX. The TAMS CMAX will provide extra high levels of security, restrict, and eliminate privileges permitted at other Illinois Department of Corrections general population facilities. Inmates transferred to the TAMS CMAX may be required to stay for a minimum predetermined length of time. Positive behavior, willingness to conform to stated rules and regulations, or a change in the circumstances surrounding the rationale, among other matters, will be considered in determining whether an inmate returns to a general population environment. That's what TAMS is all about. TAMS has not had a killing. We did have an inmate that was temporarily transferred on a medical writ to a Northern Illinois prison, and before he returned, he killed his cellmate. That would not have happened at TAMS. TAMS can handle anything that's brought to it. It has done so for 14 plus years. Is it going to be TAM's reward to be closed for doing the right thing for what it is designed for? I trust not. The need for TAM's has not changed any from the time that this was started to be planned back in the mid-1900s, 1990s. I have one letter here I want to read to you, and then I will terminate.
Dr. Powers, can you send that to For the Record? We have two more groups after this. Can we put that for the record, if you don't mind, please?
Okay, I have three letters. I'll send it both to records.
Please do that to the record. If not, I'll file them for you.
Okay, yeah. Very good.
Thank you.
That finishes my...
Thank you, Dr. Powers. Chip?
My name is Chip Markle. I began working for the Department of Corrections in November of 1985 at the Menard Correctional Center and transferred to TAMS Correctional Center in April of 1995. As of January 31st, 2012, I'm a retired major from TAMS. We can discuss this issue for 4 hours and we won't even touch the beginning of it. So 4 minutes ain't gonna work for nothing. When I started at Menard, two new gun towers were under construction in the South Cell House, where in the latter part of 1984, Correctional Officer Cecil Harbison was stabbed to death by an inmate. Cecil Harbison didn't have a second chance to go home to raise his daughter, who you heard from earlier. From 1987 through 1990, inmates committed over 800 assaults on staff each year in the Department of Corrections. In 1991 and 92, there were over 1,000 staff assaults. It doesn't matter if an inmate pushed an officer, one assault by an inmate on a staff member is too many. Employees at every correctional center are susceptible to inmate violence. Food supervisors, counselors, nurses, and office staff have all been assaulted by inmates. While a correctional officer at Menard, I became active in the union, was the union president for 6 years. I wanted to try to make a difference and make corrections a safer work environment. We started a grassroots effort to get the state of Illinois to build a supermax prison. In 1992, Governor Edgar established his task force on crime and corrections. There are some very distinguished people that he put on that committee. One of them was Mike Mahoney, who is the executive director of John Howard Association. The task force toured the facilities and heard testimony from correctional employees. With these efforts, we were able to convince the task force, the governor, the legislator, and the legislator of the need of a standalone facility to house the most violent, dangerous, and disruptive inmates. In the 14 years TAMS Supermax has been open, no correctional employee has died because of an inmate assault. Governor Quinn said closing TAMS Correctional Center was due to budgetary issues. If this is true, then Governor Quinn is saying the lives of correctional employees have a limited value. I believe Governor Quinn targeted TAMS Correctional Center because certain groups in Chicago have been trying to close TAMS since it opened and convinced him it is a bad place for inmates. I've worked at TAMS since it opened, and I can assure you that inmates are not being abused like some would have you believe. Before TAMS opened, these inmates had the opportunity to participate in educational, vocational, and various other programs, yet they chose not to participate. Instead, chose to continue their criminal behavior. Inmates at TAMS are not held in solitary confinement. They are not abused, and in fact, they're very well cared for. Inmates don't like TAMS because staff are in control. No inmate has been sentenced to TAMS by a judge or jury. They're at TAMS because of their actions in the Department of Corrections. After reading some of the postings on this commission's website, it is hard to believe that people that have never been to TAMS or maybe visited one time can be such experts on the effects that TAMS has on inmates. One of the most common arguments that opponents have is that there are inmates housed at TAMS with mental health issues. Although there are a few inmates at TAMS with mental health concerns, TAMS has more mental health professionals per inmate than most, if not all, facilities in the state. TAMS is the best place to house these violent inmates. Governor Quinn's attempt to close TAMS Correctional Center is inexcusable. No correctional facility should be closed, and this current assault on state employees should cease. Closing facilities, stripping employees of their benefits, is not the solution to the state's financial problems. Correctional employees provide a valuable service to the state that others seem to ignore. At one time, Illinois Department of Corrections was one of the top three agencies in the nation, but in the last 8 years, that has changed. Although closing TAMS will create an economic hardship at other facilities, that would be the main issue. But here, the economic hardship is not the issue that we should keep TAMS open. Closing TAMS or keeping it open may be the difference in correctional staff living or dying. If you choose to close TAMS, then you will be saying that a few violent, dangerous, and disruptive inmates are more important than the law-abiding citizens that work in the Department of Corrections. If you believe TAMS should be closed, then look at these people behind me, look them in the eye, and tell them right now that their safety, their well-being, and their lives are not important. Before TAMS opened, we had Menard, Stateville, Pontiac, and Joliet, and it didn't work then, and it won't work if we close TAMS. There are not 21 assaults a month at TAMS, like the director said. One more thing. We have an inmate at TAMS that was at Pontiac in their segregation unit. He broke through his cell wall and nearly killed another inmate. So that's how safe Pontiac is with these guys up there. Thank you.
Thank you. I gave a little leeway there, but let's keep our comments to the time, if you don't mind. Go ahead, Robert.
Okay. My name's Robert Dubois. I'm a 27-year veteran of Department of Corrections. I'm retired now. I spent 13 years at Shawnee Correctional Center and 14 years at TAMS, and I remember what it was like before TAMS, and I don't want to see us going back to what it was like if TAMS closes. TAMS has never been about saving money. No one ever said it would. TAMS has always been about keeping staff and inmates safe from the most dangerous and disruptive inmates. TAMS may be expensive to run, but can you really put a price tag on the lives you save by TAMS being there? Doing what it's designed to do, You think TAMS is expensive to run? Just wait till you see the money that the IDOC will pay out in lawsuits, because you had a facility that was working and keeping people safe, and now you don't. TAMS being open, or the lawsuits that would probably come from that, would be small in comparison by what it would cost to keep TAMS open. We only need to refer to the sign I saw out here in the parking lot today that shows how many staff have been killed by inmates, and then the number of staff that have been killed after TAMS is open, and the number zero. And we're talking about over the whole state. I mean, that's a number that doesn't lie. So, you know, the thing I have to ask, you know, another comment I'd like to make is all the other institutions I've ever visited when I was in the Department of Corrections, they all said, "We're glad you're there. You're keeping our place more safe by being there." So the question I have to ask is, where's Governor Quinn's priorities? Is he trying to keep people alive, keep them safe? Yep.
Thanks, Robert. Thanks, Robert. Thank you very much. Last group, we got Herman Townsend, April Sanchez, Rolanda Aiden Husey, Annette Franklin, Grace Warren, Janice Pullman, Annette Thigpen, and Hector Delgado. Okay. Oh, well, I'm not going to hear that. No, that was the deal. Go ahead. No, I do not. We have some that have left, and I disregard what the gentleman said here. We have plenty of people here that have level heads on their shoulders. Thank you very much for your opinion, but it's not welcome at this time. So now we have ladies introduce yourself for the record.
Annette Franklin. And Janice Pullman.
Go right ahead.
I am Annette Franklin, and my son Alonzo has been in TAMS for 10 years. What bothers me the most is that the humanization that seems to happen at TAMS.
Can we get some order, please?
You can lock someone up and never let them touch their flesh and blood for 10 years? How could that be? His aunts and uncles to visit him, they can't stand seeing him in chains and handcuffs, being shackled like slaves were. I have gotten over it because I know I need to visit him every chance I get. He has stopped eating the horrible food he receives because he's mentioned to me that at the time of feeding, his food fell on the ground right in front of him, and the guard picked it up, put it back in the plate, and dished it to him. He has gone on a hunger strike, and my son would not lie to me. He is getting more depressed and distraught and writing less. He has mentioned giving up, which coming from a strong-minded person has brought me to tears. He has lost his hair and weight. There is no one who considers my son as a person with dignity and respect in that institution. Maybe a few people, because all people are human beings. Knowing and understanding how horrible he is feeling and is being treated is hard for me and my family. And I also see how it affects my son. It's hard for me to understand why TAMS think this is a way to get positive results. Why don't you allow these men the opportunity to make themselves better? Instead, you send them to TAMS, sit them in a box for 23 to 24 hours a day. Do not allow them to touch, hug, or shake hands with anyone for 10 years. Try that with your kids. Talk to them as if they were animals. Strip them of their pride and dignity. You deny them medical and psychological help that they need. You spend more than $64,000 a year on a prisoner, and that's four times as much as I make as a substitute teacher teaching autistic and special ed kids. You house them, and when their families are try hard to see them, you demand and humiliate us. Please close camp.
Thank you. Introduce yourself, please.
I'm Janice Coleman from Quincy, Illinois. Honorable senators, representatives, and committee members, I stand here in support of closing TAM's Supermax prison. I have referred to it many times as man's inhumanity to man. It eats at my very soul. I have visited my godson at TAM's almost every month for these past 4 years. I want to begin by saying that the guards and employees have always treated me with great respect, and I have treated them with respect in return. I think a great deal of the guards that I have met at TAM's. I do want to thank them for that. The guards did not build this concrete encasement bunker. They just worked there. With that being said, I will proceed. I feel strongly and committed to visit monthly due to the isolation and confinement that my godson endures on a daily basis. His parents are both deceased, and for others, visiting TAMS is a place for Gatonia. On any given allowed visiting day, I am the only visitor or one of only several visitors visiting at TAMS. Along with the deprivation of inmates to human contact, they built the prison in an isolated location just to deprive them even more. I have to spend the night prior to my visit, and I drive 5.5 hours home after the visit. It is a taxing 2 days and expensive. However, my cost is minimal in comparison to what my visit cost the state of Illinois taxpayers in manpower. A counselor who no longer works at TAMS once told me laughingly that he used to watch an inmate wear his soles off his tennis shoes running in circles in the inmate's outdoor exercise cage open only to the sky. I do not find any humor in this. The men exercise one at a time in these outdoor cages. They sleep on concrete beds, ride on concrete desks, have air handlers blowing along with burning lights 24 hours a day. They sit on concrete stumps with their ankles shackled through a hook during the four-hour visit behind glass. How demoralizing. An inmate who has too many books or newspapers in his isolated cell receives a ticket. When he is downgraded to a level 2 from level 3 due to this or other petty tickets, he only gets 3 showers instead of 5 showers a week. Visits are limited from 5 to 2 a month. The now 15-minute phone calls are limited from 2 to 1 a month. How much more do they want to take from a man who has nothing, locked in his cell 23 hours a day, 5 days a week, and 24 hours a day on weekends? TAMS is deprivation to the max, the super max. Mental health workers stop by the cells regularly. They need to check to see who has been driven beyond the mental capacity of any human being. Closing, this is Holy Week in my Catholic faith. Thursday is Holy Thursday, the day my Lord was taken from the Garden of Gethsemane and thrown into his captive's dungeon. I have been to Israel 4 times, and each time I have gone down into this pit. The last time I was there in 2010, I could not help but think of the prisoners at TAMS and cry out to the Lord, have pity on them. Please support the closing of TAMS. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, sir. Hi, my name is Annette Zickpin. I'm a mom. My son has been at TAMS for 7 years. This is very stressful for me to talk about. I do everything I can to keep him busy. I send him religious books, books made from movies. I try not to tell him anything too negative. Sometimes I don't tell him who has passed away in my family because I know he can't take it. He's not strong enough. I send him spiritual uplifting material to read. I can tell that it has changed him. I can tell from how he is talking, and he is not talking right. He basically stays in the past, talking about past affairs. He's afraid to eat the food there. He's afraid of what it might be in the food. He's paranoid of eating the food. The guards have spit or put rat droppings in the food. Yes, rat droppings. Try it. He has anxiety attacks. These are all recorded. I sent a lot of money to buy him something to eat in the commissary. I'm taking care of him on top of the state taking care of him. He's a diabetic, and he has to be careful about what he eats. Commissary food is not what you should be eating, being a diabetic person. I visit at least 4 hours when I come down there at a time. I see him through a thick glass. I'm a diabetic too. They won't even let me bring a piece of candy in, and I have to visit for 4 hours. He don't have any candy either, no food either, no washroom privileges either. Once I came down there with a nephew. He's paralyzed. He have a special design chair. He have a spinal cord injury. One of the guards was making a fun that it could have been a what happened to you, bad drug bust, spinal cord injury. Okay, when we got there, we had to transfer him out of his special design chair that's holding his back up for the visitation. When you go into the visitation room, like everybody has told you, there's two stools. Wheelchairs can't fit in there. So we got to try to fit him in there some kind of way, or he get out of the chair. We can help him out of the chair to sit on a stone, but he doesn't have a balance. Spinal cord injury patients don't have balance. Their back is out. Okay. I spent hours trying to arrange these visits. They make it so difficult and deny visits. They talk to me in insulting ways. My son is a person, a human being, and he should not be stuck in a box alone for years at a time. This is not a third world country. We just pledge allegiance today, everybody. We pledge allegiance to the United States of America. This is not a third world country. We shouldn't put people in that position. We should not be treating people that way. Please, may God have mercy on you. Please close TAM, because it's hurting and destroying families. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're going into the public comments section of this. We have three individuals. Alan Eddington, please come forward. Kevin Reichert, I believe, come forward. And if I said that wrong, I apologize. And I cannot make out the last name on here. John Sullivan. Is it John Sullivan, maybe? I can't. Sullivan doesn't look like it, but. Seahorn, We'll have you just go on the record. So just whoever's ready, go ahead. Please state your name. We're going to keep the comments. I wanted to make sure everybody got a fair shot on that with both the last two groups. But on this group, please keep your comments to a minimum. If you are leaving, go ahead now. Please keep it down for the common courtesy of everybody else. And then this is almost done. Whoever wants to go first?
My name is Alan Eddington. I'm the executive director of the Union County Economic Development Corporation. UCEDC was one of the original proponents and fought for the establishment and bringing TAMs to this area. And I simply want to say that, as it has been said before, that what the original purpose of TAMs was about has been accomplished. To undo that is going to go against all of the plans, all of the effort, all of the struggles, and that I just simply want to state once again from the Union County Economic Development Corporation that we fully support what has been such a great success. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Please state your name.
Thank you. My name is Kevin Reichert. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. I'm an employee at TAMS Correctional Center. I have 16 years of experience in the DOC with two other facilities I've worked at. Currently, TAMS houses less than 0.4% of IDOC's population. As many citizens in Chicago know, particularly the innocent bystanders, such as a six-year-old girl recently murdered in the streets of Chicago, Chicago gangs and their leaders are responsible for so much heartache. The innocent children that are shot on a weekly basis is a sad reminder that a small percentage of the population can be responsible for so much evil and have no regard to the law or morality. As the hardworking police, investigators, and prosecutors seek and convict those responsible for the senseless violence, we await the arrival of the ones convicted of such heinous activities. Unfortunately, their havoc does not cease once they hit the gates of the department. Once they have created more gang violence or serve as a leader who orders violence, they are then sent to TAMS so that their repercussions can be better managed. The inmates in TAMS have broken prison rules, as one critic keeps repeating. Such rules are similar to society's. Murder, rape, kidnapping, aggravated battery, unlawful use of a weapon, possession of a weapon, possession of drugs, etc. Staff and inmate murders and assaults have decreased dramatically since even the initiation of implementing a supermax into the IDOC. The inmates at TAMS are in a clean, air-conditioned environment with bigger cells than any other maximum security facility. Inmates are also housed in a safe and drug-free environment. TAMS has also implemented many reforms, such as telephone calls, video visitations so that visitors do not have to travel to TAMS to visit their loved ones, GED courses, religious services, behavior incentive programs, which includes TVs, even for segregation inmates, and many brag the best food. TAMS has successfully managed to make the entire department safer for staff and inmates. While all inmates are treated fairly and civil rights protected to the fullest, at what point do we focus more of the victims and potential victims' feelings and protect the other 49,000 inmates and 11,000 employees? Economically, I believe that critics have an oversight of who controls the inmate population and who has fully staffed TAMS. With an increase of staff and decrease of inmates, this escalates the cost per inmate figures, and one that's often cited. Critics also have the inability to fathom that a life is priceless. Just ask the families of those murdered, assaulted, and raped staff and inmates. The cold fact of the cost of compensation to murdered staff and inmates' families should never be an economic factor over the morality of saving just one life in another facility in IDOC. TAMS also keeps the communities in Illinois safer. There has not been one escape from TAMS in its short history. Unfortunately, this is not the case in many of our other facilities. Regarding the mental health of TAMS inmates, TAMS has the best mental health staff and special treatment unit in the state who successfully manage the mentally ill, who cannot be housed at the state psychiatric facility due to their extreme violence. While one death is too many, TAMS' suicide rate far exceeds the other facilities as well. TAMS has only had one suicide, which again is too many. To simplify TAMS' effectiveness, prior to the Richard Speck tapes being exposed, anybody could walk into a prison in Illinois and find out within minutes who the gang leaders are. In contrast, now it is the most elusive information in prison. Please do not allow history to repeat itself, and let us continue to do our jobs in keeping the rest of the staff and inmates safe. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. We do not have any old business or new business, but let me make a few announcements for some of you that are traveling the state, as some of us are going to try to do. The future facility closure hearings, there's five coming up. Number one, IYC Joliet, April 4th, 10 o'clock, Renaissance Center Joliet. Dwight Correctional Center, April 4th, 4 p.m., Dwight High School. Westside Adult Transition Center, April 10th, 10 a.m. at the Blandick Building. Tinley Park MHC, April 10th, 3 o'clock, South Suburban College. And last, Murray Developmental Center, April 20th, 3 p.m., Centralia High School. With that, that concludes our hearing. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for being here.
I just want to thank for everybody coming out. I hope the right thing happens.
Thank you all.